much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned it. But since the day is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Saying I could be a lawyer.
I'm saying you're a football player. It's in your blood.
That's racist.
Your soul.
That's racist.
Your eyes.
That's gay.
That's homophobic.
That's black.
That's racist.
This show really improves with age.
Why? Because the jokes get better?
No, because my hearing gets worse.
Crazy.
Yes, I love you.
Hey, guys. I smashed one of my balls in the refrigerator door.
And now.
This guy so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Tuesday morning, the 14th of May.
Speaking of goofballs and grass, welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you. That makes you think of me, does it?
Absolutely. We missed you yesterday.
Thank you.
Lisa May, how are you?
I'm good.
They're fine.
All is fine. Yes, they're fine.
Although, I guess we'll have to talk about the shocking, stunning Angelina Jolie news today.
Not so fine.
Ralph will be covering that in the showbiz beat, but my God, what a surprise that was.
Yeah, no kidding. But it's understandable.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, terrible. I'm just glad it wasn't Katy Perry. That would have been, I mean, I don't know if I'm missing the point or not.
You might be missing the point.
All right, your choice, Kevin. Two stories. I can't decide which one I like better, so I'll let you pick. You can have two women, two children take a naked stroll, or you can have man's firsthand account of being attacked by a bear.
Two women, two children. See, the children make that not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the bear.
You can go with the bear.
I think I would, too.
All right. By the way, the one woman was in her 20s and her 40-something-year-old mother.
What?
And the two children. Yes. they were the four people who were walking down the highway naked. But you don't
down the highway?
That. You don't get to hear about that. I'm sorry. You chose B.
I may have chose poorly.
Joe Azuger is his name. According to Deadspin.com, he was hanging out on the porch of his tiny cabin in somewhere remote Canada, enjoying his breakfast when all of a sudden a bear almost ate him. Out of nowhere, he said, I could hear this thud, this vibration to the ground, and there was this bear coming toward me. His dog, a German Shepherd, rushed at the bear. As the two animals started to fight, Azuger ran into the cabin and slammed the door. Moments later, the bear, having killed the dog, was back at the cabin. By the way, let's give it up for the German Shepherd who went after a bear to save his owner. Dogs are the best.
And the owners are the worst. The dude's like, you're on your own. I'm going inside.
He shuts the door.
Good luck with that.
But you can't really go out and start wrestling the bear to get the dog free, right? You can't do that.
No.
And by the way, this is point for dog for those who think I'd just as soon have a cat. No cat is going after a bear save your ass,
Good point.
Cat doesn't even move, just sits on the porch.
The cat just waits until the carnage is done and eats whatever's left. That's what the cat does. Moments later, the bear, having killed the dog, was back at the cabin. He started rushing the window, breaking the window, chipping off the wood besides the window. He then made it through the window into the cabin.
He is an angry bear.
Yeah.
Or hungry.
Did he eat the dog?
It doesn't say. That's a good question, Lisa.
One meal at a time.
Not for a bear, though. They can keep eating.
I ran out. The bear followed me out. After about 30 meters, he took me to the ground. Apparently, the animal slammed him down with his front paws and began clawing and biting. Quote, he knocked me down and I covered my head. He took my shoulder apart. Then he peeled the skin off my head.
Oh, man, did he hate that guy.
And started biting my skull.
Oh, my God.
So he peels back the flesh on your head and starts gnawing into your skull.
That's not how you want to go.
How did he not die?
Is that how you want to go?
It's absolutely not. You wouldn't believe how good this guy looks in the photo accompanying this article, by the way, in the hospital with his head all bandaged up, but he looks otherwise healthy and thumbs up.
Who's hungry?
He goes into more graphic detail about the attack, and the only reason he was able to escape was thanks to two campers who heard him screaming. Two women happened to be driving close by, close enough to hear him, and they approached the cabin in a car. The man was about to pass out when the women got close with their car and started beeping the car horn. That scared the bear off. Then they drove Azuger to the hospital. He required over 300 stitches.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He's going to be in the hospital in a while, but he's got good drugs and he feels okay. So there you go. There's the story of being attacked by a bear.
I hope he's moving.
You don't see that very often where a bear is so singularly focused on, on attacking a human being.
Usually you go inside and close the door, lock everything, they go away.
Give them whatever food they want and let them have their fun.
Wow.
And this guy wasn't, you know, he wasn't in just a rinky-dink tent or something like that that the bear could just walk into. I mean, he was in a house, basically, a cabin, and the bear went through the window, started eating the side of the wall.
Wow.
So whatever's going on with you today, you're having a lot better time than this guy did, having
better
a bear peeling,
him.
A bear
peeling
was
back
on
his skull.
Bath salts or something.
Could be.
Ooh, good point, Lisa.
Right?
Bears do that a lot. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, I wouldn't break my arm patting myself on the back if I were you.
You haven't heard it yet. James Dean will be in the studio.
That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Don't recognize that name. He, of course, is the porn star with Farrah Abraham. And Farrah Abramson. Yeah. And also he did the movie The Canyons.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
Lindsay Lohan.
He's been with some excellent women.
Yes, he has.
And the reason he had those opportunities, I suspect, is because he was already a very successful male porn star and has been involved in lots and lots and lots of movies. So this guy's made a career of it and apparently is probably the most famous male porn star in the world today, I would imagine.
We also have Michael Schneider from TV Guide talking about the new series and the ones that are going away and all the TV news that's going on right now.
Okay.
Kevin, did you pour one out for Southland over the weekend?
I did not. I didn't see it got canceled.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, we Southland. Saw that coming and that was a bummer.
That's sad, sad news.
Penn Jillette is going to be in the studio today. We love Penn Jillette, but the fact that Southland is gone and Celebrity Apprentice is still on for 2 hours.
Yeah, what the hell?
That is
absurd.
Wrong. Yes.
Zooey Deschanel, New Girl, on the program today. And from Epic Mealtime, we've got Harley. And I know this is hard to believe, but there is a BBC radio announcer who is on the air drunk. And that's not acceptable.
The BBC?
Who's
it's
with
really
us?
Really not acceptable.
Who's with me?
We Wait, get away is, with it all the time.
What?
But
Kevin, is it only not acceptable because it's the BBC, or do you speak for all radio stations?
You're drunk.
I think no one should work drunk, and I know. So anyway, we got some highlights of that coming up as well. It is 5:39. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
You think AOL Nation will do that song on Saturday at the K-Rock Weenie Bros 2013?
Nope. Probably not. Probably just do their other hits.
Yeah. Wow. Imagine Dragons on the bill, Silver Sun Pickups, Atlas Genius, Fits and the Tantrums, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, Black Keys. Hell of a lineup. You can still win your tickets in the pit plus backstage passes. We've got them for you all week here on K-Rock. And again, the show is Saturday. Ralph Garman and his mustache are here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat for Tuesday.
Stop picking on my mustache. He's just as God made him.
Your mustache can defend himself. He's fine.
Yeah, my mustache will kick your ass and jump off my face and kick your ass and jump back on my lip.
Ralph, can we
my mustache is.
Can we put in a call to your mustache? I'd like to talk to your mustache.
Sure, absolutely.
It'd be fun to kind of see what his life is
He's
like.
He's got people. I'll have to run it through them. They can set up the interview, but yeah. It's got power, the mustache.
I hear it's a dick.
It's got power. It gives you power when you have a mustache.
I know,
you know why Selleck rocked it for so long. He said, yeah, that's right. Look at this.
I know maybe I should save this question for the mustache, but do the ladies like that kind of Anchorman-style mustache anymore? Are they attracted to that just because now it's kind of different and unique?
First of all, I resent the characterization of the Anchorman-style mustache.
Okay.
I like to think of my mustache more as a Butch Cassidy mustache.
Oh, you're going back even further.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm rocking old school.
Okay.
Some women love it.
Mm-hmm.
Some women hate it.
The ones around you
hate it.
I figured. That's always the way.
But I got more response from the ladies when I had the full beard, when I was doing Joe Schmo and I grew the Jake Montrose beard.
Oh, really? They like that?
Chicks really dug that.
Huh. Interesting.
Much more so than the stash. The stash is very polarizing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the fellas dig it. That's all that matters to me.
Well, I think guys like Kevin and I are envious because you could put us away for a year and we couldn't grow a mustache that fine. We just don't have it.
It is thick and luxurious.
It is.
I don't give you that much. All right.
Can
enough,
I touch it?
No stash talk, no.
Can I lick it?
Enough stash talk. Serious news now. This morning in the New York Times, story broke about Angelina Jolie. Here's a woman who always struck me as a person of substance.
Yes.
Like, she had a lot going on and had very very strong opinions and had a lot of strength to her, and I think this story confirms that. She was faced with the probability that, a high probability that she would develop breast cancer at some point in her life because, as you know, they can now detect this faulty gene that some women carry called BRCA1, which sharply increases the risk of developing breast cancer and in some cases ovarian cancer. So she took the tremendous step, the amazingly bold and brave step of having a double mastectomy.
But it hadn't been detected in
her? She doesn't have breast cancer.
Wow.
This is a precautionary measure that some women take when this gene has been identified, that the probability of breast cancer is so high. In Angelina's whole case, she had an 87% chance of developing breast cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, you do not want to worry about that
with the presence of this gene. Now that she's had the mastectomy, the double mastectomy, she has an under 5% chance of getting breast cancer. So it is a significant health risk to not take this step. You'll still, at the same time, even though you know you're doing something significant for your health and for your longevity and to be there for your kids, can you imagine the kind of balls it must take to make that decision, especially a woman as in a high-profile profession like Angelina Jolie to do that? Yeah. It's a remarkable story.
I read the whole New York Times piece, and the description that she gives of the reconstructive surgery makes it sound like they've come a long way in that department.
They have. They absolutely have. But still, it's a major
major decision.
Decision in a woman's
life. Remember your favorite American Idol judge from a couple years ago, Ralph Cara
Diaguardia?
She did the same thing a few years back.
Many women. Juliana Rancic from E! She's done it.
Right.
Christine Applegate had to do it. She had cancer at the time, but she also did it. So it's becoming more and more frequent, and certainly more so since they've been able to identify this gene that women are making this decision. But still, enormous amount of bravery from Angelina Jolie, first of all, to do it and then come forward and talk about it in the op-ed section of the New York Times today.
Hey, she'll help that decision. She'll make that decision so much easier for so many women for years to come as a result of her bravery and putting it out there like that so publicly.
She writes in the piece, "I wanted to write this to tell the woman that the decision to have a mastectomy was not easy, but is one I'm very happy that I made. I can tell my children they don't need to fear that they will lose me to breast cancer. Angelina lost her own mother at the age of 56, but she battled ovarian cancer for nearly a decade. So she knows what it's like to go through.
Wow.
And she's made that step for herself and her family. So
it's impressive.
Kudos. More bad news. Sports Illustrated model and actress Angie Everhart has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and she will undergo surgery today. Her representative says that the former supermodel wants to set the record straight, that her prognosis is very good, and she hopes that people will learn about cancer prevention, its signs, and treatment, specifically with thyroid cancer as well. So we wish her the best. All right, enough of that bad news. Let's talk about some good news. I got nothing.
We were hoping you were counting on us for that?
No, just kidding. Barbara Walters is leaving television.
Finally.
Hasn't she been threatening this for about a decade?
Since I was born, I think.
She said yesterday that she was going to leave television a year from now.
Yeah.
What?
A year from now.
Did she need to make that announcement?
I guess she felt she did. She talked about it on The View yesterday, saying that in a year she's not going to be on television anymore. So
if she's still alive.
Start the countdown calendar? I don't know what we do there. Don't you make the announcement like 6 months, a month, today, tomorrow, I'm going, that's it?
Yeah, maybe a month or two.
What is she giving us the heads up for a year for? She's expecting a lot of accolades and kudos and tributes.
Maybe she's going to do the world tour.
Maybe the final tour.
Yeah.
Her and Joy Behar got out there and strip.
That's a terrible image.
Tuesday means new CDs and DVDs and stuff available for you to buy. Here's what you might want to pick up. How about Modern Vampires of the City by Vampire Weekend? I wish I could see them someplace. I wish there was a place they were playing so I could see them live.
Nope.
Why can't they ever play
live
I can see them?
They don't perform at all.
They never have.
They're just hermits. They've never, ever played a concert.
Weird.
30th anniversary edition of Sports by Huey Lewis in the News. Re-release Huey Lewis!
I bet Jimmy Kimmel already has it.
Oh, he's
you know he does.
He's making love to it right now.
I bet Huey sent it to him as soon as it was pressed.
Demi by Demi Lovato. Or Demi, I guess. I always get confused with her and Moore. I don't know how they pronounce their names anymore. DVDs, Cloud Atlas, that Tom Hanks movie by the Wachowski brother and sister.
Right.
Frankie Go Boom, starring Charlie Hunnam and Chris O'Dowd and Lizzie Kaplan and Nora Dunn.
Wow.
It sounds like funny film, but I don't know anything about it. Liz and Dick. I know that's a funny film.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Lindsay Lohan and Grant Bowler. That's available today. TV shows on DVD. Dexter, the 7th season. Final season coming up.
So good. I know.
My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, season 2. Come on, you bronies. Get out there and buy something. And more importantly, the 30th anniversary edition of Fraggle Rock!
Get your cares away.
Yeah, huh?
Worries for another day. Let the music play.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
You're way too excited
Fraggle
about
Rock!
That. I know, I heard.
You don't get it,
I heard when you said it in a normal voice.
You don't get it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Miranda Cosgrove. She's lovely and talented. She's 20 years old today. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder, turns 29. Actress Amber Tamblyn. We love Amber Tamblyn. She's 30. Sofia Coppola, director and daughter, of course, of Francis Ford.
Belle or no Belle for Sofia? I find her attractive.
Yeah, but she's not Belle attractive. She's attractive.
Okay. Yeah, she's close.
Black Keys singer Dan Auerbach is 34. Why can't the Black Keys ever play any place? Why
can't
I see
another
them
good
live?
Question.
Kate Blanchett's 44 years old today. Poison guitarist CC DeVille is 51. Actor Tim Roth is 52. David Byrne is 61 years old. Robert Zemeckis, very talented director, is 62. And the creator of the Star Wars Empire, George Lucas, turns 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Another band right there that's impossible to see live. What's with all these hermits we're playing today that don't get out? Come on.
Hermits are playing?
Wow.
Kevin, you are about to be so excited. You are about to fall in love. You are about to meet your soulmate, my friend. This would be like me going to the post office today and there's a 90-year-old woman and they're wearing a Barry Manilow t-shirt. You see her and you know that she's perfect and she's meant for me. That's what you're going to be like with Paula White. She is a radio presenter, as they call it in England, at the BBC in Stoke, which is up by Cheshire. And she, I don't know why it was her last day, but it was. She knew ahead of time that it was her last day on the station. And she showed up Kevin blasted.
How dare you?
She is so drunk that they end up pulling her off the air within the first hour of her appearance. But long enough for us to get this piece of tape.
For the last time on this show, let's say you pick the music. Oh, yeah.
BBC Radio Stoke.
Be part of it.
It's always better when you are.
Is that
Paula,
it?
Enjoy your day and thanks for being yourself. From Glenn, Paula, we'll miss your wit and sense of humour. Look forward to Saturdays from Sandra in Stoke. Thank you.
That's so Kevin.
Right. How dare you all suggest
that's
that?
So Kevin.
She's reading emails. And I bet, like Kevin, she thinks she sounds fine, right?
Yeah, she does. Especially if she gets called on it later in the broadcast.
Exactly.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
By the way, that's the new official slogan of the Kevin and Bean show right there.
That's awesome.
It is my last show. I want song suggestions. Look, let's just throw it all out. I don't get told what songs... But I don't get told what songs to play on the last day of my show. So, if you want a song...
I don't get to what songs on my show.
That's not me.
It's so you.
It's so you.
You two should get married and have drunk little babies together.
Sue's like Kingate. Oh, my goodness. If you want a song, let's have a party. Party, party. Last day with Paula. Here comes the night. Rich and Talk says, Paula, you sound drunk. I'm not drunk. I've had a couple of drinks. I'm not drunk.
By the way, that's
so Kevin.
So Kevin. I'm not drunk.
I've had two drinks, but I'm not drunk. I had a granola bar, and that's what my mouth is dry. I would like some water.
I did not do anything wrong, and yet I'm being attacked today.
I would
today.
Like some water, because I had a granola bar last night.
I'm sad. Paula Stoke, we'll miss you, Paula. Shame you're going, won't be the same in the week. They listen on a Saturday, says Rog in Bengal.
By the way, if anyone has ever heard Kevin read emails on our show,
same.
Very much what it sounds like, right?
And wishing you all the best for the future, says Rog in Bengal. Oh, thank you very much indeed for all your song suggestions. Between now and 4 o'clock, we're having a party. We can. We absolutely can.
And she's looking around going, what am I supposed to be doing next?
We absolutely can. Where's the party bus? Where's the party bus? Everybody get on the party bus. P-A-T-R walk, because I said so.
All right. We're in the final minute now of DJ Paula White again for the BBC, drunk off her ass on her last day. And we're going to hear right up until the point where the next DJ comes in to explain that she's sick and had to go home.
Sick.
I love this.
Uh-huh.
Now, this lady.
By the way, not unlike Kevin, miraculously, mysteriously being missing just some days for no explanation.
That's
I'd
right.
like to say
yeah.
dare you.
All right, she's about to play a song by Katrina and the Waves. The Walking on Sunshine song is what she's trying to play and what she's trying to say. I wanted to put that out there because you may not be able to tell.
Now, this lady won Eurovision for us a couple of years ago. She wasn't with the Sunshines or the Waves. Oh, I'll try and get it. Oh, it's like the computer's just not working. Oh.
How many times has Kevin said, oh, I don't know, I hit the button.
I pushed the button, but the button didn't work. There's something wrong with the button.
It's not me. The commercial should have played. I don't know what happened.
Turn on the sunshines. I'm walking on waves. Coming up next.
Oh, how lovely. It's like my last day and I'm just... Oh, shall I do it now? Yeah. Shall I do this?
It sounded like
who's
the
she talking to?
It sounded like the song started at the same time as a jingle started. Definitely didn't play what she wanted to play.
Yeah, that never happens here on this show.
I think she's talking to herself.
She's talking to her drink.
What should I do now? Talking to her listeners, man, who love her.
Didn't work. So, shall we go for the Beatles? No, that's not working either. Oh, it's my last day and nothing's working. Why is nothing working? No. Let's try this, shall we? Shall we try this?
Yeah, let's try that.
You say yes. Perfect day.
All right, here's the new DJ.
Perfect day by various artists. Obviously, it's 25 minutes to two. Good afternoon. Unfortunately, Paul is... not feeling quite well, so she wouldn't be in her last afternoon show, so she's gone home, so unfortunately...
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go, Kevin's new girlfriend, Paula White, from the BBC.
Unfortunately, Paula had a granola bar.
Kevin, I got a hard choice for you to make. We have Penn Jillette and James Dean coming up on the show today. Would you rather be a male porn star or a magician?
Wow. male porn star, I believe.
Tough one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on the way. Also, Zooey Deschanel is going to be talking to us in about 20 minutes, and the epic mealtime chief, Harley Morenstein, will be here. But first, speaking of television, how about our friend Mike Schneider? He is the TV Guide Magazine Los Angeles Bureau Chief. He is in New York City for the Upfronts, and he is going to join us with the very latest. What's going on, Mike? How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Good to talk to you as well. We are still recovering from the terrible, terrible news, I think, that came down on Friday about Southland being canceled on TNT. Were you with us that was one of the most the shows that got the least acclaim that deserved the most?
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic show. And you got to think of it on the bright side. You know, NBC canceled that show after one season. So just the fact that Turner picked it up and then kept it going for several more years is pretty amazing. And, you know, there's still a possibility. They're still talking about maybe doing a wrap-up movie. So we may at least see some, loose ends tied up before the end of it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, because they certainly left it on a cliffhanger. Was this one of those cases where the ratings were just too low, or is it a show that just got to be too expensive to make, Michael?
It's kind of all of the above. You know, a show that old starts to get expensive. They've cut costs through the years, but the ratings weren't quite there either, and I think everyone involved felt, you know, it had a good run, but maybe it was time to move on.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Upfronts a little bit. This is a big deal in your business, right?
Yeah, you know, this is the week where all the new shows look fantastic. They're all going to be big hits. Everyone's thrilled, and it's all good. And then, you know, cut to a couple months later, and 80% of the shows are canceled.
They're all gone, right?
Right now, everyone's happy. Everyone's thrilled.
Before we talk about some of the new shows that you're excited about, what was the biggest surprise for you in terms of a show either being picked up or being canceled?
Oh, man. I mean, there were a lot. You know, one of the big surprises is a show that was supposed to be picked up. But, you know, CBS was doing a reboot of Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy was going to be involved. They had this young actor, Brandon T. Jackson, who was going to play Axel's son. And I think a lot of people were really excited. It seemed like a sure thing. But ultimately, CBS did not put it on their fall schedule. So, you know, it's a show I was looking forward to seeing and kind of bummed now that it's not going to happen.
It's tough to get a new show on the CBS schedule, isn't it? Because almost every night is already a hit for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the luxury position of they get to cancel shows that actually do well for them. You know, they're canceling CSI New York, which, you know, is you know, not an exciting show, but it does well for them. But they need to make room for new hits.
Right. We were surprised that Community is coming back. It seems like it has been circling the drain for the last year since they lost Dan Harmon, their creator and showrunner. I mean, I don't think anybody has enjoyed this season as much as the previous ones. Why are they bringing it back?
Yeah, that's where money comes into play. You know, this is still a business more than anything. And there are enough episodes of Community where one more season will actually bring it closer to syndication when people will start making some real money. And NBC owns a chunk of Community, so they had a vested interest in squeezing out at least 13 more episodes. So that's where sometimes business rules the day.
It's
still doing okay, to tell you the truth. It's diminished returns for every show on TV now. So the fact that it's got a rabid fan base, people still love it to some degree, it was good enough to bring back.
Okay. Why don't you just take over and tell us some of the new shows, the presentations for some of the new shows, new stars that we're going to be seeing on our TV in the fall that you're excited about, Michael?
It's kind of hard to say I'm excited about a lot so far. One of the shows I am excited about is Andy Samberg has a new show coming on in the fall on Fox. It's a police comedy. It's him and Andre Brower together. Andre Brower is sort of the cantankerous Lou Grant style boss, and Andy Samberg's a slacker, sort of not unlike the kind of characters he used to play on SNL.
Right.
And those two together might actually be kind of funny. So there's that. James Spader has a new show on NBC called Blacklist, where he is just creepy. Dude shaved his head, and a shaved head James Spader is kind of ruthless.
It's hard to imagine.
It is hard to imagine.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, he was creepy on The Office, and that was a comedy, and he still managed to wig me out.
Right. So if you like The Following, I think you'll like this, too, because it's sort of a similar vibe. He's actually a villain who ends up having to help the FBI and catching some bad guys. So there's that. There's a lot of stars coming back to TV. Some of the shows, remain to be seen whether or not they'll be worth the stars returning. But, I mean, you got Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar coming on CBS. You've got Michael J. Fox returning to NBC. That's one everyone's going to be watching because, it may be uncomfortable at first to see, how he looks and acts now. But, I'm willing to give it a try.
Of course, I mean, look, he's a great TV comic actor. There's no question about that. Ralph will scream at us for the rest of the year if I don't ask for some thoughts on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we've seen so far looks fantastic, and you've seen some of the clips that they've already put online, and I got to tell you, every time we even mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on our website or on our Facebook, it gets, hundreds of thousands of hits. So, people are really excited for this show, and we're going to see a lot more of it today. ABC's presenting their shows this afternoon, so I'll get a chance to see more of it today.
Nerds really are taking over the world, aren't they?
They seem to have inherited the earth. I mean, there's a lot of sci-fi. J.J. Abrams has two new shows coming on. They both look fantastic. The nerds are ruling the TV just like they're ruling the movies now.
This is Michael Schneider on the phone, TV Guide Magazine, L.A. Bureau Chief. We're talking about what the new fall season is going to look like. And before we let you go here, Michael, I'll let you get back to New York. We have to talk about the news that also came down since the last time we had John about Seth Meyers officially being announced as the successor for NBC's Late Night Show. He'll take over for Jimmy Fallon next year. You have to be a white man to get a late night talk show these days, right?
And even more specifically, a white man who apparently anchored Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live and is good pals with Lorne Michaels. So it's a very, very small sort of pool of candidates these days. But, Seth's great. You know he can do the job. So in some ways, how can you not give it to him? I think as long as they do a different kind of show and I keep hearing they're going to be doing more of a Daily Show kind of show for that. Then, you know, if they can differentiate it enough from Fallon, then it might still be good. But yeah, it's sad that there's not much diversity in late night.
But you got to kind of give it to them, is that that's the only part of Saturday Night Live that has been consistently funny, is his part.
True.
Yeah, and he's a really smart guy, and then a really clever, funny guy too. And I think, you know, he'll definitely bring something different to late night and some real smarts to it. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. And his producer is great, and Lorne Michaels is involved, and Lorne Michaels is now truly the king of all late night. So
sure, we'll see what absolutely. They do. Well, you know how I feel, Michael. The only thing that matters in the world is what's on TV. So I'm always excited to talk to you and keep up the great work there with TV Guide. Have a great time in New York, and we'll see you soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
Okay, Kevin, that's enough from you.
P-A-R-T-Y, bus, because I said so.
Time for the showbiz beat now with Ralph Kramer and then Zooey Deschanel after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show on Kevin.
How wonderful it must be to go through life with people having so little expectations of you. They
just, that's the key.
You can just do pretty much anyone and like, oh, that Kevin. No one really cares that much.
That's the key, is you have to make everybody expect the worst from you.
And then not disappoint them.
And you just show up on time every once in a while. They go, good.
Good for you, Kevin. Hey, while I have your attention, how would you like some free tickets to a very cool event? I'm giving away passes to the premiere of Fast and Furious 6.
Yay!
It's happening a week from now, Tuesday, May the 21st, on Universal City Walk. Movies in theaters next Friday the 24th. However, you will be amongst the first to see it if you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? You not only get to see the film, but you get to see the film.
Right. You got both of those.
Both of those things. you and a friend, if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away to the L.A. premiere of Fast and Furious 6 up there at Universal City Walk. Call now and see the gang. See Paul Walker's back, and Vin Diesel, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Michelle Rodriguez is back from the dead, apparently. Oh, yeah, everything's going
on. Interesting.
Everything's going on in this film. Got it all. While we're talking about films, looks like the Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger's back at work.
All right.
In talks to do a remake of the legendary film, The Toxic Avenger. You ever seen The Toxic Avenger?
No.
From Troma Pictures?
No, I'm unaware of that.
It is the stuff of B-movie legend. B-movie is really being generous. It's the stuff of C-movie legend.
So it's crap.
Troma Pictures is this small company that made a lot of drive-in type movies back in the day, and then they specialized in the direct-to-DVD market, and their biggest hit was Toxie, the Toxic Avenger, Toxie as he's known to his friends. And it's a story about a janitor who falls into a drum of toxic chemicals and becomes a mutant superhero.
Another one of those.
He's got like effed up eyes down the side of his face. He looks like a monster. He's deformed, but he fights crime. And by fights crime, I mean he rips people's heads off and spears them with his mop that he still carries because he's a janitor.
And he's a vigilante janitor.
They're doing a remake of the film, of the cult classic, and it looks like it's going to star Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Toxic Avenger.
Well, that should be interesting.
Well, I think they're going to do it in a sense of with a sense of humor. It's going to be co-written and directed by Steve Pink, the man who gave us the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot going on, a lot of opportunity here. I miss Toxie. I'm glad to have him back.
Oh, I miss Toxie too.
Don't we all miss Toxie?
Sure.
While we're talking about new films, it's another Beach Boys movie in the works. We already talked about the fact that Paul Dano will be starring in a film about the young Brian Wilson. But now they're doing a film about the Beach Boys.
Thank God.
It's going to be produced by John Stamos. Boy, he loves himself some Beach Boys, doesn't he?
He
that
sure
John
does.
Stamos? It is going to be, according to John, a Mamma Mia-type film with the band's hits and a plot which would focus on summer and the beach. So it's going to be some sort of storyline where
how's he going to tie those two together?
The Beach Boys songs will be woven into the narrative of the film itself.
Ralph, will there be girls or cars at all in any of these songs?
Much or too early to say at this point whether girls or cars will play a large or significant role in the film in any way. Heard you guys talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did ask that just for you, Ralph, because I know that's the one you're most excited about on the fall schedule.
You'll be happy to know creator Joss Whedon has finally joined Twitter. for those of you who would like to follow Joss. The man who brought us, of course, Buffy and Firefly, as well as Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. His account name is at Joss Actual, JossActual. So if you want to follow Joss, he's announced he's finally on Twitter. You can check him out. And the big story of the day broke in the New York Times this morning. Angelina Jolie revealed that she's had a double mastectomy. She had both breasts removed after discovering that she faced a high probability of developing breast cancer. She carries with her the faulty gene BRCA1, and now they can test for this gene in women. And if that gene is present, it increases a woman's risk of developing breast cancer significantly. So much so that Angelina said part of her decision was based on the fact that by carrying that gene, the chances of her developing breast cancer were 87%.
Jeez.
After the mastectomy, the double mastectomy, they have dropped to under 5%. So it really makes a significant difference in the prognosis of a woman's health if she's carrying this gene that they
do this radical
surgery.
Is this preemptive surgery new, or is it something they've been doing for a while?
It's been happening ever since they've been able to isolate and identify this gene in women. Doctors have said, look, we know this gene exists. We know there's a direct correlation between this and a high incidence of breast cancer.
Wow.
If you like, we can discuss the double mastectomy. Removing the breast tissue then removes the danger because this cancer is specifically targeted towards that type of tissue. So it's been going on since they identified that gene.
Is there any word in the article on who Brad Pitt is dating now?
Love it. Nice speed. Nice work.
Wow.
Too soon?
Never.
Never.
How about
really?
Never?
It's just not too soon.
I know we do a lot of jokes that push the bounds of good taste here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but I thought maybe this was one story that we'd just be able to sort of recognize Angelina for her bravery and her substance in this decision.
You know what you forgot?
What's that? He's a asshole. You know what? I forgot to factor that.
You have to factor that in.
In my defense,
I forgot Bean carries the asshole gene, which makes him 87% more likely to be a douchebag.
In my defense, last hour, I was right there.
Wow,
with you.
You waited a whole hour before you made a joke about a woman who had to have a double mastectomy to avoid breast cancer?
I waited an hour, yes.
Wow. Well,
and that's a step in the right direction.
And I stand corrected. Let me nominate you for a Peabody Award.
Thank you. Finally,
waited an hour.
You
massive douchebag. Today's celebrity birthday is Amber Tamblyn, 30 years old today. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is 29. Black Keys singer Dan Auerbach is 34. The Black Eyed Keys. Sofia Coppola is 42. Kate Blanchett is 44 years old today. Tim Roth is 52. Talking Heads leader David Byrne turns 61. You know, I've seen him recently, and he is same as he ever was. He hasn't changed at all.
Come on.
Robert Zemeckis is 62, and George Lucas turned 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show. Give me that theme.
Who's that girl? Who's that girl? Who's that girl? Who's that girl? It's just
Zoe. Zoe!
Hi, how are you?
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Thank you so much.
You know, the last time we had you on, we had some mishap with the phone technology, and I was I was talking, and you could not hear me at all. So my radio pal, Kevin, here, he was the only one who could talk to you on that phone call. I was just sitting here just, twiddling my thumbs. And, like, for 5 minutes, I felt like I was watching another man steal my girl. You know what I mean? It hurt me deep that I couldn't talk to you. So it's awesome to finally have you on. How you been?
I've been great.
I would imagine that right now you're in between, you're on hiatus from making the TV show. So are you in total rock star mode now? It's all she and him business these days right now?
Well, yes and no. We're going to go on tour in June and July. So, yeah, we're preparing for that and doing press for the record. But I'm in New York for the upfront.
So this week you found out you're not canceled, which I'm sure was something that you were really, really worried about, right?
We found out early. So we found out like two months ago that we were picked up. So I didn't have to wait for the news. I knew ahead of time.
There's a lot of panic for a lot of actors in Hollywood this week as those announcements are being made because some of those decisions go right down to the final wire and you literally don't know whether you have a job.
Sometimes people cancel a show and then change their mind. And so I was just thankful that, we were picked up early and we didn't have to worry about that anxiety.
And by the way, more than just picked up early, more than just coming back for another season, as I understand it, given the slot after the Super Bowl next year, that's true, right?
Yeah, we just found that out. I'm so excited. It's amazing.
Well, there's no bigger commitment in the world than that. Well, listen, I want to talk about The New Girl because the season finale is on Fox. But since I brought up the She and Him record, I have to tell you, I've been a fan of your music for a long time. I love, love, love this new album so much.
Thank you.
I mean, this Never Wanted Your Love song, which I guess turns out to be the single, is one of the most devastating things I've ever said. And I don't look to you to make me sad, Zoe. You're not my go-to girl to depress me. What the heck's going on? Where'd this darkness come from? Because that's a rough song.
Well, I think it's a little more ambiguous. I don't know that I would call it dark. Melodically, it is quite uplifting.
Yes, it is, until you listen to the words, and then you want to slash your wrist.
You know, I'm into happy sad. You have to mix emotions when you're writing songs. So I always try to, if I have a sad lyric, I write a more uplifting melody, and vice versa.
Right. It's like a Long Island iced tea. It tastes like you're not getting drunk, but you are.
So you're getting drunk, yeah.
Right, exactly. All right, let me ask you one more music question, and that is, you had a lot of options when you were starting out. I mean, you could have formed a band. You could have just been a solo artist. How did you ever – I never heard the story of how you hooked up with the great M Ward to work as your collaborator and fellow musician. Yeah. Like, how did you two even get together?
I was a big fan of his records, and I had written and recorded a bunch of songs in demo form for years. I have many, many – of these demos, and I met Matt, and I kind of just blurted out that I had a bunch of songs I'd written. He said, well, I'd love to hear them. So I sent him a bunch of MP3s, and 2 weeks later, he called me and said, I really like them. Why don't you come up to Portland, and we'll record them and see what happens? And that is how we recorded Volume 1. The rest is history.
Well, I can't urge Kevin Amin listeners enough to go out and check out the new album from She and Him. It's available everywhere, in stores, on iTunes, and it really is terrific. It's such good stuff. Speaking of musicians.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Yeah. Speaking of musicians, I have a massive crush and always have on Taylor Swift. I mean, she is my favorite. And I know that she takes a lot of grief. And I know your character on New Girl, Jess, also loves Taylor Swift. How about Zoe Deschanel? What's Zoe's take on Taylor?
I love Taylor Swift. She's amazing. She's such a cool person. So smart, so nice, so talented.
Do you literally have her music on your iPod, Zoe?
Yeah. I love Taylor Swift. I think she's awesome.
And what can you tell us about her appearance tonight on the season finale of New Girl? Because she doesn't make too many appearances acting on TV.
I have to say, you know, our show is not for the faint of heart. You have to kind of come in dunning because it's a lot of improvisation and a lot of things sort of happen on the fly. And she came in, she was so prepared, she was hilarious, and everyone was so impressed with her. She's really, really good and really, really funny.
Does something like this happen because she's a fan of the show and she lets you know that and then the writers look for a way to work her in? Or did you guys go after her because you had an idea for her?
I think it was a little bit of both, but she's just fantastic. We were really lucky to have her.
Well, it's going to be the season finale, and it's a little bit of a cliffhanger because we've been watching all season long as Cece, you know, gives up on Schmidt and decides she's going to marry the Indian guy who nobody likes and nobody wants her to marry, but it looks like she's on the path to do that, and I guess we find out tonight whether that happens or falls apart.
That's right. It's really the sort of behind the scenes of this wedding.
Awesome. Well, we've been so fortunate. Fox has been great to us. We've had everybody in. Jake's been in, and Max, and we just had Lamorne in last week. You got such an unbelievably
awesome.
You got such a great talented cast, and we love the show. And we're
so
happy.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox is the season finale of New Girl, and then you can look for She and Him out on tour over the summer, including a date at the Hollywood Bowl, believe it or not, on June 23rd, which is going to be great. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. Zoe, I'm glad I got to fulfill my dream and actually speak to you this time. It was a real thrill. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Amin Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Our friend Penn Jillette from Celebrity Apprentice, and of course, many, many years of doing the great show in Las Vegas, joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, how about the Kevin Amin Afro Line on the air one more time for you? This is where you call us 24/7. It's Voice Machine. You leave a message for us. We play it back on the radio at 323-520-AFRO. Great news, guys, about our show. The reviews are in.
Hey, Kevin Amin, one of the biggest douchebags in the world. And I love it.
Thank you. If we bought advertising on this show, that might be our slug line.
It would be
right
it.
There. Here's a guy with a comment about his lady, I think.
My girlfriend's like a washing machine, because she's on her menstrual cycle.
Wow.
Very touching, sad news about Mac Daddy from Chris Cross. I think that's what this caller is referring to.
I guess Chris Cross makes you want to jump into heroin and cocaine and OD and die.
Wow. Not as catchy, though, as the way they did it originally.
Wow, that was a touching tribute.
It was, wasn't it? Here's a young lady with great advice for everybody who's thinking about getting the sexy time going while they've got K-Rock on in the mornings.
If you're going to get it on while listening to your podcast, don't do it during Omar Roki. It'll ruin the mood.
Omar Roki ruins everything.
How awesome is that? She called. I love her so much. How are you going to come at Lisa May like this?
Lisa, it hurts me to say this, but shut up.
Oh, wow.
That's it? Just shut up?
Just shut up.
Just a general shut up.
That's nothing, right?
How are you going to come at me like this?
Bean, shut up.
I think that guy wasn't enjoying whatever show he was listening
all
to
right.
that day. Kevin, you speak drunk. Is that what's happening here?
K-Rock, in your butt. I love your show, and I love Bean, and I love Kevin,
I love
Put that in your butt,
mother...
Yes.
That's what's happening. Here's a call about, I'm sure, this Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
We need roast.
What's happening?
What is happening?
No.
You guys remember, speaking of I don't know, Lisa, you guys remember our favorite 911 call from last week? We had this guy here. I'll play.
911, where's the emergency?
I don't know.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
Okay, you called 911. Are you having a problem? Is this the business?
I don't know.
Is there somebody in the store there?
I don't know.
Are you inside the store?
I don't know.
Can you answer anything, sir?
I don't know.
That's what this Afro call is about as well.
Know. Man, where's the crazy Afro lady? How am I going to know what Barack Obama and Danny DeVito are doing with the president of Halliburton fishing on the River Kwai? I want to know.
Yeah, that wasn't the call at all, but this one really is.
Now, boy, why do you listen to the Kevin and Bean show?
I don't know.
Do you find them funny?
I don't know.
Do they talk about interesting things?
I don't know.
Is there any redeemable thing about their show?
I don't know.
Is there anything you can say besides, I don't know, fire beer mug?
Oh,
finally, something we can all agree on, right?
What a twist.
Remember possibly the greatest moment with for the Kevin and Bean Show for 2013? It was me.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
That's
this is like...
May from now on.
That was a moment with me.
Well, awesome. This caller loves it so much.
Trat and May? May and Trat? That's my all-time favorite moment with Bean ever. Kevin. He's got to be jealous of that one. That was awesome.
I accept your score. I do.
I'm willing to let him have that spotlight.
And finally, a very suspicious request coming in on the Afro line.
Hey, Kevin, me. This is Oscar, and I was just wondering if you guys could play that parody of Daft Punk's Get Lucky, because I think it's awesome. Play it, bitches.
It was Omar, wasn't it?
Sounds a lot like Omar, yeah.
Is he calling the Afro line? He just walked down the hallway. What's happening?
Kevin and Bean are really dumb, really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Sarah Abramson.
Pretty dope, man.
Here mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh my!
What?
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arden.
I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give it another guy.
What an idiot!
Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Woohoo! All right, he
he's a dear. What? Who's that? Huh?
Is that what we just talked to?
Was it what?
Yeah, what's up?
Here's... George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, and you're special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're special in that you're doing now tonight?
Kevin Bean, I'm really dumb, really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
See, it's a good thing. That's it. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying. Leonardo DiCaprio.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Yeah, that's true. That's
a good point.
Sorry.
You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line anytime, 323-520-AFRO. A quick break, and Penn Jillette joins us next on the Kevin and Bean Show. There it is. Penn Jillette back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Famous comedian, magician, illusionist, musician,
dancer,
best-selling author, podcaster, dancer. And, of course, one of the finalists for this season's of Celebrity Apprentice on NBC.
Singer.
All-Star Edition. Hey, Penn, how are you, man?
I've never been better, boss. Never been better. I was running around. You know, you're lucky, because I was running around trying to find my ice cream. I was going to bring in the people in the studio, and you would not get any, but it's... Turns out no one's getting any because a lot of the Walgreens are sold out of Penn Jillette's Magic Swirtle ice cream. So
now, to explain to folks why you're hawking ice cream.
Why
today,
would
Penn?
I be hawking ice cream like a freak? Because I am one of the finalists on the Celebrity Apprentice. All-star, and one of the tasks, the final task, was to design and advertise and market an ice cream. And I really did create an ice cream. You know, the big surprising thing about Celebrity Apprentice, the shocker, is that it's essentially honest. You know, when I went on the show first, I thought it'd be total jive.
Right.
But we actually, you know, you go into a food chemistry lab, and there I am with Dennis Rodman, designing an ice cream flavor, which was
in the room.
No, he was really helpful.
Come on.
He has an ice cream palate.
It's not
he was
helpful
going
at all.
Just
anytime,
no,
anywhere.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Come on.
He was taking a little more vanilla in this, a little sweeter. He really did have a rather sophisticated palate.
Is that right?
I thought I was around like a wine taster or something. Because I was just going, ooh, sweet, fat, good,
right.
Done.
Yeah.
But he was going, no, a little bit more sea salt on the chocolate swirl. And I was kind of going,
what?
Okay. And every time he was done with these little adjustments, it was better. He was doing a good job. I made a really good ice cream. And then, you know, Trace, my competitor.
Trace Atkins?
Yeah, I'm not sure he made the best decision because his ice cream flavor is dirt and carpet fibers.
I don't believe that's accurate, Penn. I think you should check the show.
Okay, because I almost...
That's just what you heard?
That's what I heard. Uh-huh. It's what I also tasted it, and it's what it was seemed like. I maybe you don't have a sophisticated palate as Dennis Rodman, but that's what it seemed like to me.
I watched that entire show, and then this morning it occurred to me, I don't go to Walgreens for ice cream, ever.
No, they get this new line of ice cream at Walgreens. It's wicked good. It's really good. I mean, I'm really not... There's no reason it needs to be good, and if it weren't good, I'd still be telling you to buy it.
Right.
But I'd be hitting the charity angle instead of actually saying it's really good ice cream.
Okay.
I would find a way to spin it so that people should buy the ice cream.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
That's my job.
Right.
But it actually happens to, you know, and all my friends, all my dirtball friends in Vegas are all going, wait, it's really good. They have no intention of even eating it. You know, they thought, well, we'll buy 4 cartons, make him happy, throw it away.
Right.
It's a good charity. He wants to win. You know, there's a 350. And also, I'm up against the Red Cross. I have a local charity in Vegas for people with intellectual disabilities. You know, not photogenic, not the people that anybody really wants to help.
Mm-hmm.
And Trace has the Red Cross. And I was so hopeful that Trace's charity would be like, you know, American Nazi Party.
Right.
That would have helped.
That would have helped.
The whole angle would have been so much better.
Would have been easier.
But no, he chooses the Red Cross.
Your winnings will go so much farther.
Sure.
Because the Red Cross is enormous. $350,000.
To Opportunity Village helps these people get jobs, get back to the community, makes a big difference.
Yes.
The Red Cross, they sneeze at it. They
it's
sneer
a drop
at it.
In their
Who are you kidding? Yeah. But, you know, the problem is that Trace is a great guy and it's a
great
charity.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Penn, because you obviously you want to win, but you have a great deal of respect for Trace.
I was friends with Trace before, during Celebrity Apprentice. Every time we had an opportunity to choose somebody, we chose each other.
Right.
I enjoyed every second with him. And when we did, we have to do these. fake boardrooms. The finale's done live, but in case something happens, they do two, one with me winning, one with Trace winning, they could show in the event of an emergency.
In case something happens.
Well, so I don't know what would possibly happen.
So they have filmed Trace winning, and they filmed you winning, and yet they're going to do it live.
Yes, and they were never used. It's like Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you know, but when Saturday Night Live is on, they run another show parallel to it.
No.
That's all ready to go in case something happens. Now, what could possibly happen? I don't know. I guess it seems like anything that would cancel the show would also make people have no interest whatsoever in the TV show.
Right, they would break in with news, right.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, you know, there's been a horrible earthquake or assassination or something. Why would you want to watch the show? But they have that. So, you know, we sat in the room and kind of did a dress rehearsal for the finale.
Right.
And, you know, Mr. Trump goes, you know, and Trace, what's the worst thing you can say about Penn? And he goes, don't really know. He's really good.
Yeah.
he doesn't
exactly bring the energy, though, does he?
And he comes to me and I go, Trace is great. So it's really nice. I mean, I don't know. People seem to be enjoying the show an awful lot. But one thing I wouldn't be part of was that awful kind of sniping unpleasantness. That's just not fun for me.
Right.
And even if it's good TV, as they say, was it really? So I've been having a blast. I mean, this year on Celebrity Apprentice, I had a real good time.
You're the class. You and Trace and Little John, I think, are the class of all of those Celebrity Apprentices shows. When you guys have been on, all three of you guys are the kind of guys you know at the beginning. In fact, by the way, I picked you to win last time you were on. Remember, you broke my heart, and I lost a lot of money in Vegas because of it. But I'm hopeful you will win this time. But let's talk for just a moment about some of the other people on the show, because what do you like? A guy like Dennis Rodman. Do you ever end up having some affection for a guy that you have nothing in common with, and I assume nothing to talk about?
You know, it's funny. I didn't interact with Dennis much at all.
It doesn't look like anyone did.
They just put me on, you know, they put him on my team at the end. So I only had one day interacting with him.
Okay.
And from what I heard from other people, which is this is complete hearsay and is not admissible on a morning radio show. you know, there are good days and bad days with Dennis. And I get him on a terrific day.
He was focused
and fabulous, and we had a wonderful time. And there's something, at least for me, I think for everyone, there's some joy in talking with someone you have nothing in common with. And of course, very funny for Dennis to talk to someone who knows nothing about basketball.
Or North Korea, maybe.
Or North Korea. Not a lot about North Korea. This was before that, of course. But I enjoyed that. But the people I interacted with the least were LaToya and Dennis Rodman and Brandy and those people that were those people that were on the other team, Omarosa.
We need to take a break, but when we get back, I'd like to talk about LaToya for a second.
Sure.
And the amount of time it took her to realize that Teller doesn't talk. That was awesome, because it was a very slow process. It was coming over her slowly, wave after. He's pretty quiet. He's sure as quiet. So we'll take a break and come back on the World Fair. This Sunday night at 9 on NBC, Penn Jillette and Trace Adkins are going head-to-head to become the first ever All-Star Apprentice. You can do your part by going to Walgreens near you and picking up Penn Jillette's ice cream flavor. It's available for sale right now.
And it helps Opportunity Village, which is a wonderful charity.
All the money goes to a great local charity. I have a question for you, Mr. Jillette.
Shoot.
Donald Trump, as we all know, is a blowhard, and you have to suffer through him to be part of this program. And I understand that, and you handle it well. How are his kids not screwed up? Because every time I see Donald Jr. or I see Ivanka in there, they just seem like they're together and happening, and they don't fall into any of those crazy traps that their father has. What's the deal?
You know, I think I had a talk with Donald Jr. about that. You know, he was talking about how I seem to be the only person who was sincerely fond and respectful of Gary Busey.
Okay.
And I said that I was obsessed and loved people that exist without filters. Whether you do that with willpower, like maybe Bob Dylan or maybe some of your great beat poets, Kerouac, I think, worked at having no filters, or whether you are someone like Tiny Tim, who possibly was on autism spectrum, and therefore had no filters,
right,
did those wonderful interviews. I'm always fascinated. And Gary Busey seems to be a combination of the two. And I said, I just love the fact that we get to see these bursts of humanity that we don't necessarily get to see. And, you know, Don Jr. then said, well, you seem to work without filters. I said, no, not at all. I'm making the decisions all the time, and I've never even really tried to eliminate the filters, which is why I'm so fascinated by it.
Right.
And then, you know, Don Jr. said, you know, my dad's kind of like that. My dad just does say whatever pops into his head. And I said, you know, and that's part of what I enjoyed in the boardroom. Is the boardrooms would go 3 hours.
Holy
what's edited
crap.
Down, you know, sometimes. And they would be occasionally Mr. Trump talking about things that had nothing to do with the show. And I mean, not like he didn't know. He
right.
Just, what he was talking about on his mind and asking questions. Well, global warming. What do you think, LaToya? And
because that's where you're going to get the best answer.
Sure. And it would go like that. And I just loved it. And that conversation about seeing his father not in a way like a blowhard, but seeing him as an artist who is working in this unfiltered environment is a pretty fascinating way
to see
him.
But he knows his dad is crazy, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he is crazy.
All these political things that's coming out and all that. It's like, come on. He's a clown.
He's wrong. I mean, you have to be very careful when you attack somebody that you're...
He thinks he's right.
I think he might.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a big difference. You know, I try very hard to get along with people who have very different beliefs than me. And I think that we should use, in our culture, the word wrong more and the word evil much, much less.
Right.
You know, we always
so
jump to this.
If he knows he's wrong, then it's a different
story. Yeah,
story.
It's a whole different thing. But you'll hear Republicans and Democrats do these attacks where they seem to believe that the other side believes the same thing they do.
Right.
But
right.
yet is arguing something different.
Right.
As opposed
right.
to wrong, which is, I think, a fine thing to say. And we've all experienced it. We've all experienced
that,
being wrong,
think,
but not evil.
Yeah.
Do you think, Penn, that Donald Trump sincerely believes that he could be elected president, or do you think that's just his way of getting people to pay attention to him?
I think he probably sincerely believes it.
Awesome. That makes him crazy.
I think he sincerely believes it. You know, you can't underestimate the distortion one gets in the public eye. You know, the distortion one gets, and I'm not speaking for Donald Trump, I'm speaking for me.
Okay.
You know, you get this sense, especially if you cloister yourself at all, you can get this sense that 100% of the people are thinking about you. the world of that show business is designed to do that. I mean, you certainly have that experience when you're in a K-Rock environment and you're doing that whole thing. You have a self-selected sample
that
care very much about you. And I think that can be taken. It's the exact same thing you see with Howard Stern. I don't think that he's crazy, but he's getting information very, very different than a person that has to go to work and then go to McDonald's where nobody cares at all about them.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
If you get that kind of stuff. And I also know, you know, that that politics in the United States are very, very mercurial and very capricious. And
now you're starting to use words I don't understand.
You end up with Obama, who was an unknown junior senator, boom, all the way up, and then no changing that. So I think you can have that very distorted. Do I think he has a chance? No.
No.
But I'll tell you.
What about LaToya Jackson? Could she be president?
Well, you know, we'd like to believe that we all could be. You know, I thought she was very focused and very sweet. No, she did not know that Teller didn't talk.
That must have burst your bubble a little bit.
Well, that's
your
exactly.
Your entire life.
Precisely what I was talking about. In my world, nobody doesn't know that Teller doesn't talk.
Right.
Nobody has that information. Nobody. And yet, it's most of the world. I mean, there's what? There's 7 billion people on planet Earth.
Right.
If we take the 7 billion and round it off, about 7 billion people don't know that Teller doesn't talk.
Right.
If we're going
to
round off those figures. Even if we're going to round it off to 0.001%, it is still 7 billion.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows that. No one cares that. If you're not in that demographic, I mean, I had my mind.
But in your world, you must have been shocked that...
In my world, you know, I really kind of wasn't. I try to keep that 7 billion figure in my head. I mean, mm-hmm. Elvis Presley was supposedly very troubled that Aboriginals in New Guinea had never heard of Elvis.
Really? You
know, that bothered him. For me, that gives me a huge amount of joy that even if you look at the United States of America, most people, the vast majority, know nothing about Penn and Teller. And sometimes when you feel like you're under a microscope, it's really good to remember when I was over in China, you know, I sat with a translator, with someone who was in one of the villages outside of Wuchao, which is, you know, like 100 clicks out of Beijing. And I sat with them and said, during translation, I said, Elvis, no reaction. Madonna, no reaction.
Nothing.
The Beatles, no reaction. What American do you know? Michael Jordan. End of list.
Really?
That's end of list with Michael Jordan.
No kidding.
And they all went crazy because they thought I looked exactly like Michael Jordan.
What?
Absolutely. I mean, this is...
You're a giant. I'll give you that, but...
This is your perspective. I mean, a good-looking African-American man and an ugly, square-headed son of a bitch from Newfoundland look identical if you're in Wu Chow. You know, because when I came in, it was really like... I was, in some of the places we visited, I was the first American they'd seen.
Really?
And the first Caucasian they'd seen. The first.
Wow.
And when I walked in, as far as I could tell, the tallest person there before me was 5'4", 5'6".
Oh, my God.
And you're what,
6'7"?
6'7"?
Yeah, so... Me walking in was really an event, and it was a really wonderful experience to be somewhere that all I was a big guy. Mm-hmm. You know,
you were Michael Jordan.
All the stuff, and yes, and they, you look so much like me. You think that if not complexion, you know, if not raw symmetry of the features,
sure,
you would think at least hair would give you some sort of hit.
And have they ever seen a ponytail in China?
You know, you could do this show. You know, you could do the Chinese version of this show, and they could, you know, give you two names that we couldn't tell the difference. You know,
yeah,
and it would be just as ludicrous. And so that particular situation. I mean, when we met Leon Russell, you know, Leon Russell, a big hero of mine. And we were on, like, the Fallon show with him or something. And
for folks who don't know, great singer-songwriter, 60s, 70s. Tremendous musician.
Worked with Joe Cocker, just did a record with Elton John. Played piano on everything in the early 60s. He was part of the Wrecking Crew here in L.A. with Carol Kay on bass, you know, all those monsters. And so Leon Russell is in his wheelchair, and he's going to do a little tune. He wrote Superstar and a few other songs. And, Leon Russell comes over and says... Well, guess Teller's not going to talk to me. And, I mean, everything in my whole world, I just went, how can Leon Russell know anything about Penn and Teller? This is amazing. And I really felt like the other 7 billion people on the planet did not matter at all. So I got to tell you, in my heart, I expect the LaToya Jackson reaction.
You do.
I am shocked by the Leon Russell reaction. You know, when Frank Zappa told me he'd seen one of our bits on Letterman and that they had it on video, I went out of my mind. You know, because you picture, you kind of know somewhere in your mind that 8 million people are watching, and you kind of focus your mind on that.
Right.
But those 8 million don't include Frank Zappa.
Ever.
They don't include LaToya Jackson. They don't include, you know, they don't include Leon Russell.
Right.
So I'm not really shocked by that. But I think if you do... If you don't remind yourself that the samples around you are self-selected. I mean, we do a show in Vegas, Penn and Teller, about 1,000 people a night. I talk to people afterwards. It really does look like 100% of the people
of course
know incredible details about me. But these are people that have chose to drop $80 and come see the show. They're bound to know something, you know.
Right.
So you can get that self-selected sample. So when you are Donald Trump and all your meetings are about buildings with your name on them and the people around you, and I'm not talking, I'm not saying anything like, you know, suck-ups around him and people lying to him. I'm talking about the people in K-Rock, when they talk about the Kevin and Bean Show, are knowledgeable about it because they work here.
Some of them are, yes. You would expect them to be.
Well, I would expect them to be. Exactly. I was speaking out of turn. Please forgive me.
Let me stop you there, Mr. Gillette. This is why Penn has a podcast, by the way, which I heartily recommend, the Penn Sunday School, which you can get on iTunes or on his website or something like that, because clearly Penn has a lot to say, and unfortunately this kind of radio program doesn't give us as much time as we would like to be able to spend.
You just said
Penn.
Shut up, didn't you?
Pretty much. I did. Yeah. The live season finale with Penn versus Trace Atkins is going to be this Sunday night on NBC on Celebrity Apprentice. Get out to Walgreens and buy some of Penn's apparently delicious ice cream.
It's
I don't
really
think
good.
He would lie about that. And next time you're in town, you know you're always welcome, Penn. We love
Thank
having you
so
on the
much.
Kevin B. Show. Thank
always.
You. All you need to know about our next guest, here's his Twitter page bio. My name is James. I am a simple guy who likes to eat and sleep and watch TV. And oh yeah, I also bang chicks for a living. Ladies and gentlemen, James Dean joins us in studio here on K-Rock. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we've had a lot of beautiful porn actresses in over the years, but because we don't care about the dudes in the movies, we've never had this opportunity, so this is actually kind of different for us. Thank you for joining us.
I refer to myself often as a fleshy prop or
right,
a meat
exactly.
puppet.
How old are you now, James?
I am 27 years old.
So you've been in the business a while because you started at 18, right?
Yes, I started in March of 2004.
Okay, now many young people grow up and they get a taste of the porn, and they go, "That's for me." That's
well,
going to be my.
They shouldn't be eating porn.
No, I don't think it's that.
Just an expression.
Yeah.
just like teenagers, they want to be professional basketball players, or they decide they want to be president. A lot of people say porn is the way to go. That's got to be the greatest job in the world. Very few actually make the transition and get the job. How did you go about it back in the day?
Well, I always wanted to do it my whole life, and pretty much when I. It's a really strange story because looking back on it, it makes no sense. But at the time, it was like the best idea ever, which was I'm 16. I want to do porn when I turn 18. So I should go hang out in Hollywood and go to parties and I'll meet somebody.
Wait, that worked?
It worked.
What?
That's
a terrible plan.
I know, right? It makes no sense. But at the time, it felt like the best idea ever, and it worked out well. I met a lady who knew somebody who then introduced me to somebody else, who then introduced me to somebody else, who introduced me to somebody else, and that person put me in a adult film.
And they were just counting down to your 18th birthday so they could get you behind the camera, or in front of the camera, I mean.
Other way around. I was counting down to my 18th birthday so I could make the phone call and say, hey, put me in front of the camera.
Were you already sexually active at 16 when you started thinking, hey, this is a great career idea for me?
Yes, I was.
You were. And you just, like most young people, you loved it so much, you said, hey, if I can do this and get paid, win-win.
Kind of. My whole life, I've always aspired to be an adult performer. From as long as I can remember, in third grade, I got suspended from school because we were sitting around the class and everyone was saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a cop. I want to be a porn star. What? You're disruptive.
How did you know that in third grade?
Well, all right. So I already knew what sex was. I wasn't sexually active, obviously, but I was aware of the birds and the bees and the mechanicals of human sex, and and so then I saw pornographic material, and I get this question in interviews all the time, and I never know how to answer because I can't consciously remember my thoughts when I was, 7 years old. But I just remember that as long as I can remember my entire life, I've always wanted to be an adult performer when I grew up. So I'm living the dream.
That's funny because most people when they look at porn when they're younger, they go, I want to have sex. They don't think, I want to have sex on screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe I'm a weirdo. I never thought of it that way. Thanks. I got a car accident this morning. You call me a weirdo.
You got a car accident. That sucks.
Were you? How's your penis, though? That's fine, right?
Yeah, as far as
that's
I can tell.
That's the important
thing. The moneymaker is good.
How's your penis doing?
Well, mine's fine, but I wasn't in an accident this morning. I would be more concerned if I was
I don't
yours.
Know how your morning was.
He hasn't used his in 10 years, so.
Once you got into the business, was it everything you hoped it would be, or have there been some low points of your career, some disappointments along the way in the film industry?
It's pretty much everything I've hoped.
Really? It's been good times.
I did this interview for Forbes magazine, and I was under the impression that I was the only one being interviewed. But it wasn't. There was a group of male performers, and they asked a bunch of male performers, what's the hardest part of being an adult film star? And every single guy was like, oh, it's, you know, rising to the occasion or building chemistry or this, that, or the other. And I didn't know that they were asking a bunch of people. So I just said, there is nothing hard about my job other than my penis.
Sweet.
And I came out looking like a total D-bag a-hole. I don't know what words I'm allowed to use here.
On the, right. Yeah. You did
a
good job.
I looked like a douchebag, a douche nozzle. You know? I looked kind of like this arrogant prick because I'm sitting there being like, there's nothing hard about my job other than my penis. And everyone else is like, oh, well, you know, sometimes you have to do this. And, but I really thought I was the only person.
Oh, that's funny.
Pretty much, yeah, my job is very easy and very fun.
Now, when we've had the ladies in your business on the show before, they get, of course, guys all the time saying, how can I get into business? And they always talk about how difficult it is to be the male performer. How, you know, with all these people around and taking breaks to, you know, to get new angles and things like that. It's, I mean, physically, it's difficult for most people couldn't do what you do, James. You never had any problem with performing on camera.
No, not yet. I mean, I've had days where I, you know, needed to take a break and get my head back in the game or whatever. Everybody's human, you know, but like in, I've been doing this 9 years. I've been working every day. I used to do 2-3 scenes a day every day when I was like 18, 19, 20, 21. So, I mean, I've done close to 4,000 scenes. And in that time, I think I've had 3 where I needed to like hold off and be like, wait a minute, I need a minute. Usually because, I don't know, it's really not very difficult. It's not that hard of a job.
And how many different women have you been with, James?
I have no idea. I've never in my life.
Never counted?
Never.
All right, we need to take a break. We need to take a break. But when we get
just
back,
thinking about that, thinking about
of,
that answer.
We're kind of silenced here by all of this.
When we get back, we want to talk about Lindsay Lohan, who you worked with, and Farrah Abraham.
Okay.
Which was the big story recently.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
That's kind of interesting to people.
James Dean is here. We'll take a break and come right back.
Hey, Lisa. James Dean is in the studio with us. He is a person who caused some of that slowdown this morning, I believe.
Was it on the freeway or surface streets? What happened?
What happened was I was – all right. So on the 101 going east and the 405 going south, there's that two-lane and then the third lane to go north on the 405. So the two-lane going south. And there are a bunch of irresponsible drivers who have a tendency to speed through the 405 north lane and then at the last minute try to merge onto the 405 south lane.
How dare you?
Yes, he does.
And so I was driving in the proper lane and then somebody was speeding and trying to cut in, and because it's stop and go traffic, I went a little bit. There was a little gap. They cut in and then I had to stop so I didn't hit the car in front of me because I didn't want to rear end somebody.
Ah,
and that person.
In your defense, you're used to filling gaps and rear ending people, though.
So
someone hit you?
Someone hit me.
Ouch. And, terrible way to start the day.
It honestly, it was the easiest car accident I've ever been in because the guy just, he took full responsibility. There wasn't even an argument about it. We pulled over, got out of the car. He pretty much handed me his insurance. We didn't even say anything. He just handed me all
there
his information, wrote it
nice.
Down. He said, I'm sorry. And then I was like, it's cool. We looked at the car. I'm like, it's not that much damage. You know, called insurance on the way over here.
Although your neck's starting to hurt, isn't it?
Yes, totally. Are you winking at me right now?
That's how it works.
No, I'm not, just to be clear. James is an adult film star that, if you don't recognize the name, Dean is with 2 E's if you want to follow him on Twitter, and his website is jamesdeanblog.com. He's been in the news a lot this year. First, for filming The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan. That's a movie that comes out August 9th. Secondly, and most recently,
they have
for
a release day.
August 9th, yeah.
No, I was just told August.
Secondly, and most recently, Vivid.com picked up Farrah Abramson, the teen mom, and the movie is called Farrah Superstar, and you are the actor who she chose, I guess, that she hired to have sex with her so that she could put this video out and she could make $1 million and pay you $5,000. That's how that works, right?
There is so many inaccurate statements in what you just said.
Oh,
great.
Good.
I'm glad you're here then.
Including her name.
I don't think there was one. I think the word is was correct.
All right. Take us back. She's teen mom. You get a call. How does it work?
Well, Vivid, it's a Vivid movie. Vivid called me and said, we're making a porno. Do you want to be in it?
Okay.
I said, who's it with? They gave me her name. I looked it up and I said, yeah, I mean, she looks cute and stuff. And then we talked and then I said my requirements. They said her requirements. And then we shot a scene.
Is $5,000 accurate, James?
I don't like talking about how much money I make because it makes me uncomfortable. Because
we're already jealous enough of you, so why add to that?
The whole, you know, it's I can just safely say it's not accurate, and I can safely say that my check came from the same place her check came from, which is a payroll company called PES Payroll, which is employed by Vivid Entertainment. It's not.
Is she responsible for all of the lies?
Because
the story
know.
We heard was she hired you for herself.
I don't
and
know.
She paid you. Blah blah.
I don't
blah.
Know. I don't.
You
I,
don't
I
have
just
any
flat
idea.
Out. I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, this is the best I can tell. Is all right. So Vivid works with everyone. They're Vivid. They
right.
are. They are the coup de grace. They're whatever the correct word is. I don't know. They're Vivid.
The premiere.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Okay, whatever, they're Vivid.
Okay.
Anyway, so they work with everyone. I don't know if she came to them, they came to her. Her agent is an ex-performer, her manager or something is this ex-adult performer.
Oh,
so I know she, like, has connections with people, and so however it happened, it happened.
Okay.
None of my business, don't care. All I know is I get a call from the director, and she says, hey, we need somebody who's under 30, which was her requirements, to do this scene. I, like, looked it up, and I was like, okay, cool. And then there was this back and forth and all this stuff like that, and then it came to this whole thing of they wanted this, like she had a marketing plan that conflicted with Vivid's marketing plan, but Vivid didn't really care because for reasons I'm not allowed to disclose because I feel... I don't like invading people's personal space and privacy.
Right.
And I don't want to say something that isn't my business to advertise.
But okay. She was angry at you, as we understand it. Farrah Abraham was angry at you for talking about the tape at all, right?
Well, I didn't talk about the tape at all. What happened was I got a call. I picked her up from her hotel room to drive her to set because she doesn't do adult films.
Right.
So I understand her not, you know, her being a little, you know, nervous about just having sex with a stranger.
Right.
You know, so I offered, you know, so she wanted to hang out beforehand. I was like, I'm really busy. I would if I could, but I'm just flat out busy. We met Friday. We got tested. Saturday, our test come back because it takes 24 hours. Saturdays, our test came back. Sunday is when we shot the scene. So we met Friday at the testing facility, the clinic. Saturday, I was on set all day. And so Sunday, I picked her up on the way to set, drove her to set, and just hung out there for an extra hour while she was in makeup and stuff. And on the way out of the hotel room, someone took a picture of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, like, holding hands because I was, like, you know, trying to flirt and be nice. Like, you know, not just... here's my penis, but more like, hey, would you like to touch
right.
my penis? Maybe I don't know. So someone took a picture. I get a call from TMZ because they are TMZ and they have everyone's phone number. So I get a call from TMZ 7 a.m. on Monday saying, hey, are you dating this girl? What's going on? I said, I'm not dating her. What were you doing? Shooting a porno, which is what I told Vivid originally was exactly what's going to happen. And then for reasons that are none of my business, they were convinced that they could make sure that didn't happen, which, of course, you can't control the media. The media does. If you wanted to right now, you could just cut my mic off and say whatever you want. You know, like,
right.
I've actually been on radio shows where that has happened. And so, so pretty much it just turned into this big, huge, like, cluster bomb.
Yes.
Nice work.
So it just turned into this big, huge, mess because before... before we shot, she was doing her marketing strategy. Then Vivid had their desire to do their marketing strategy. And then I just was like, I'm not going to lie about this. Vivid handed me an NDA the day of set. And I was like, I'm not signing an NDA. It was also not a standard NDA.
Non-disclosure agreement. For
yeah. It was a non-standard non-disclosure agreement. It basically said that if anything happens, they get like, you know, they can cut off my arms. And I was like,
wow.
Seems
extreme.
Yeah. Right.
So and they're giving it then.
Yeah. They're giving it to me on
set.
And
yeah.
I'm like, there's no way I'm going to sign this without giving it to my lawyer. So I just was like, I'm not signing this. If you don't want to shoot the scene, it's fine. I'll just leave.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's fine. We'll shoot. I'm like, all right. So I never signed anything but a standard model release. And, you know, I don't think I would have ever signed a non-disclosure agreement about this because I just don't support their marketing strategy. This whole drama mess of, you know, he said, she said, and all these things. It's like the same, like, why I didn't want to be like, well, this is the reason and this is this. It's none of my business to say how it came up. I'm not going to say how
it's
much
ours.
She got
we
paid.
Guess a lot.
Yeah, you guys can guess all
right.
day
we
long.
We guess a lot.
Enjoy.
She's a whore.
Well, I don't think...
I'm just saying.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah, well.
I don't think that's accurate in this case at all. I mean, she says she had sex in a year before she shot this video. So that's not
could
exactly
we say liar?
The definition of a whore.
Well, I can definitely safely say that she...
Her marketing plan wasn't really the
marketing
truth.
Plan is not true.
Okay.
Right. There's a lot of... Like, I can safely say this. I did not get paid by Farrah. I got paid from Vivid.
Okay.
Got paid from Vivid. Right. Farrah was paid before... the day of set, they handed her a check. My stipulations to do the scene was, one, she had to be tested the same way that I was. Two, she had to be on birth control. I was sworn by the people at Vivid that she was on birth control. We got tested the same day, same time. So this new pregnancy thing, I'm like, well, here's the thing. I didn't, test her urine and all this stuff. And I don't know. I didn't see her taking birth control. So I'm going off of, the people that I've known.
You took their word for it. Right.
Yeah, and I've known these people for years. I've been working for Vivid since, 2004. So I've known these people for years. So when they tell me, she's on birth control, I'm
right.
Maybe I shouldn't have trusted them and maybe I should have done my own research. But also, I don't know if you've seen the video, but it's called Backdoor Teen Mom.
Yeah, well,
we
there's
had that.
That
discussion as well.
And
I'm no doctor, but I think I understand why that doesn't make you pregnant.
They just come out of the butt, right?
So I did want to make sure, because this is my issue with what's going on now. It's ridiculous. Two, it means I got lied to by people I trusted, and that just is hurtful and makes me sad. And three, when you're telling people, oh, I got paid this much money, or oh, I did this, or it's my thing, or I paid him, or what, I don't care about that. People can say whatever they want. It doesn't really matter. It bothers me a little bit that people that there's this rumor of me basically being a prostitute and being making private sex tapes for people, because that's not
although it seems like a good side business.
Yeah, but not really my style.
Okay.
So none of that stuff I care about. But when you start involving a potential baby,
right,
a fetus, a pregnancy, now that's not something that is really something to joke about or make a marketing scheme. It's, in my opinion,
right.
when you say I'm pregnant, it's not the equivalent of saying I've been raped, but it has a very, very serious, we now need to start talking about this as a serious issue. And
right.
this is something to, draw alarm and concern to. You don't just toss the rape word around, right. You don't just toss pregnancy around. And so now it's not a matter of, oh, hey, this is a fun game and marketing schemes and stuff. Now it's, okay, you're involving my life, your life, our... And not just 6 months or a few months of our lives, forever, because right. now there's abortion and planned and all these things. Or is this, what's the potential of this? And, then who's paying for this baby? It's obvious. My lawyer says Vivid's paying for the baby because they prompt, I have text messages and emails saying that she's on birth control. So there's all these things about that. And so pretty much.
Have to raise the baby.
Right there in the office.
And then more than anything, you also involve the potential life of a new human being.
Of course.
So it's now three people's lives that are seriously affected. It's not something to just toss around and use. And also
to get publicity.
Yeah. And so that's what really bothers me about this is this is no longer oh, hey, so we heard you got this. We heard this. What do you think about that? And me going, okay, I don't care if she wants to say she made a bunch of money. I don't care if she wants to say that she shot the movie and did it this way. I don't care if Vivid wants to say that this happened. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Right.
Now you're talking about a serious life decision.
Well, thank you for commenting on that and clearing up some of the stories that
and
we've been
that's
hearing.
That's what I have the issue with.
I'm glad we got to hear that from you. So that's available now. Farrah Superstar Backdoor Teen Mom is available at
Vivid.com. It's a really good porno.
I'm really proud of myself. To be one of the best-selling porn tapes of all time.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself. I have JamesDean.com launching, which is very similar style stuff. Adela would kill me if I didn't plug that. So it's very similar style of the amateur homemade type thing. So I have experience doing that stuff, and I was very proud of how I shot it. And I was man,
easy with the language.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about camera. All
right, listen, James, we're out of time.
Of course. Yeah.
So many of our listeners are asking questions that we didn't even get a chance to talk about your Mainstream Canyons movie in August. Why don't you come back when that comes out and we'll spend a little bit more time together? Would that be cool?
I would absolutely love to.
All right, James Dean with two E's. Check him out on Twitter at James Dean and JamesDeanBlog.com and coming soon, JamesDean.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We enjoyed it. I'm going to say a name that most of us don't think about very often anymore, and it is Orenthal James Simpson. Remember OJ, you guys?
Why was he on the TV today?
He is back in the news, plus 100 pounds, if you've seen him lately. Apparently, the food in prison in Las Vegas is very good because the juice has blown up a little bit, but he is appealing his conviction. Remember, he was convicted for trying to steal back what he said was his football memorabilia back in 2007. He's been in jail for 4 years now, and now he is claiming poor representation. Now he says he deserves a new trial because his lawyers did not do a good job for him.
I think that would be fine with me that his lawyers did not do a good job for him because he had the dream team that got him off of the murder charge. So it all equals out.
Well, let's find out what OJ is talking about. Maybe there's more to the story than we know. He joins us now on the Kevin Bean Show from prison in Las Vegas. Juice, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing Kevin Bean.
Are you eating right now, OJ?
Yeah, I'm eating right now.
You've put on some weight. I couldn't help but notice.
I am the fat juice.
The fat juice.
Yeah, yeah, you are. You're a lot of pounds from your football playing weight, aren't you?
No, I can still play football.
No, but Bean's saying when you played football,
I have to be a defensive lineman. Now.
Yes, okay, good.
You are 65 years old now. What has 4 years in prison been like for you, OJ?
I'll tell you. It is not good.
Right.
But the food here is really good.
That's the first time we've heard that.
Well, I know. You wouldn't think, but it's really good.
Is there a way you could swallow the food that you're eating and then just have a conversation with us for a second?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, OJ, why is it you think you didn't get good representation at your trial in 2007?
Well, first of all, I'm the juice.
Right. That's established.
Right. So why am I in jail?
Because
white people don't like me.
Because you committed a crime.
Because white people don't like me.
You think that's it?
Mm-hmm. Part of a group of guys with guns who went in and tried to steal somebody else's stuff. That's why you're in jail.
Or was I?
Well, yes, because there's video of it.
And that's what you were convicted
right.
of.
Yeah.
We saw it.
Okay. Fair enough. But my lawyer didn't really do a good job.
Okay, what do you want done differently if you get an appeal? Because you need more than just, I'm the juice and I shouldn't be in jail.
Have you tried a new Dorito tacos?
They have those in jail?
Yeah.
What?
I had somebody bring me some. They're good. I had like 50 of them so far.
Okay, are you giving more thought to lunch or more thought to how you're going to get out of prison with a defense?
Well, my lawyer was not good.
Okay.
So I'd like to have a new trial, please.
Okay, but Bean's
that's
saying...
That's what I'm going to say today, I think.
So you don't have any other new information that's come out or
well,
any proof of...
The onus is on the state to make their case.
They already
okay,
did.
They've made their case, and you were convicted. Now you've got
or
to come back
they?
To them.
They
did. Yes, they that did. Was on TV, too.
Oh, that's right. That was.
You need to go to them and say, but maybe you didn't know about this.
Right.
And then you bring in some witness who says it went down a whole different way or something.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying my lawyer was not good.
Right.
So, Mulligan.
There's no mulligan. You don't get a mulligan?
Yeah, I do. I'm a mulligan. I play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of golf.
Used to.
Right.
You know, that's why I think I'm eating so much, because when you're in prison, you have to give up a lot of your old habits.
Right.
And I think you fill in those habits with eating.
Okay.
Like, I can't play golf anymore.
Right.
Right.
So I'm eating.
You're eating.
Right.
Eating a lot, too, OJ, based on the photos I've seen out of prison.
I can't go to the nightclubs with the ladies anymore, so I'm eating.
Right.
Right.
I can't kill a bitch anymore, so I'm eating.
Okay. Well, all right.
I had to break the old habit, you know?
Understood.
I'm eating a lot.
Yeah, it seems like...
I am not thin.
You're not a thin. You have gained a lot of weight.
Oh, I'm eating a lot just this morning.
You're like two juices.
Well, be careful. Slow down there, Juice.
That feels so good.
Please don't.
Oh, God.
Please, God, I'm begging you.
What do you want?
I'm just begging you.
A black man can't not feel good?
No, just
you don't want
not
me feel to
good.
Feel good just, because I'm black.
Just hang up the phone before it. Save us the...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Don't subject us to what's about to happen.
I ate a lot of tacos this morning.
Right. Right,
and I'm the juice.
Right. Therefore,
all right. Don't wash down tacos with orange juice.
All right.
Because
okay.
they
all
do
right.
not mix well in your stomach.
Okay, good all talk.
Right. We're
going to leave it there, OJ.
Wait,
thank you for
I
the...
go,
yes. okay.
Come on.
Come on. OJ.
I'm much thinner now.
Harley Morenstein, the host and co-creator of Epic Mealtime, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. I wonder how many times he's vomited in the course of his duties, like OJ
never,
just did.
Never.
Really? With the have you seen what they eat on Epic Mealtime?
Yeah, but they have like a cast iron constitution. Yeah, they just power down all that bacon and they just hold it down.
I don't know how they do it. Right? It's amazing.
Everything okay over there?
Now, what happened to our music there, Muggs?
I don't know.
Don't know. It's just stopping.
I don't know. Not my department. Wait a minute. That's my job.
He didn't do anything, but it just stopped. It stopped on its own and then started again.
But at least you stood there and didn't look into it at all for a month. That's great.
By the way.
Because you didn't know what was going on, that's what I would have investigated instead of looking around like you're bird watching.
You don't know, man.
I do know.
I love it stopped on its own, so much like our drunk BBC broadcaster. He's like, I don't know why it's not playing. This song is something wrong with the computer.
It's not working.
At least she all noticed. Right.
Ralph is here.
She was pushing buttons. She was trying. You guys are talking about bacon. I got lost.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday morning.
Showbiz Beat? Whatever. Are you sure you want to let me do one now?
It's a B-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
Yes, we're sure.
You guys don't
want to
interview Chris Angel or have David Blaine or somebody come in? Isn't it magician interview hour when Showbiz Beat's supposed
to happen? Pendulette was late and we wanted to spend two breaks with him, so thank you for being so unselfish as to
whatever,
offer up
man. Showbiz Beat. He's got, you know how many shows he's got? I got one. That's all I got. I got 5 minutes once an hour to do something. That's all I got, man. I'm
used
not
to
on
be
Celebrity
once an
Apprentice.
Hour. It used to be once an hour.
I'm not. I don't have a standing night gig at the Rio or whatever the hell they're playing now. All right, here's an interesting story. Breaking Bad. You love the Breaking Bad,
love,
don't you?
Absolutely,
great
one of the best shows of all time.
Being remade on Univision. They're doing a Mexican version of Breaking Bad called Metastasis. It's a Spanish language remake of the popular AMC drama. It's going to be in Univision.
Say what?
I can't remember that happening before. I don't know of any other American shows that they've remade directly for a Spanish-speaking audience. Well, it was CSI Tijuana. I think that one they did, I remember. But I know it's been the opposite. I know they've taken popular Spanish-language shows, like Ugly Betty, for example, was a Spanish show before they made an English version out of it.
Don't they just take the show, though, and change it and have people dub, you know, voiceover in Spanish? Well, isn't that how they usually do it?
They do that with a lot of shows. Yeah, they will just dub in a foreign language and then re-release it in a foreign country. But this is being reproduced with an all-new cast. I'm assuming they'll use the same scripts translated into Spanish. The actor Diego Trujillo will play Walter Blanco. I'm not kidding. That's actually going to be his name.
I like it.
Walter White, of course, was played by Bryan Cranston on that show. Anyway, thought that was interesting. Story everyone talking about today, of course, is Angelina Jolie's double mastectomy. Story broke this morning in the New York Times op-ed section. She wrote a piece about the fact that she has recently had a double mastectomy due to the fact that genetic tests revealed she faced a higher probability of developing breast cancer than the average woman. She wanted to avoid the same fate as her mother, who died young at the age of 56 after battling ovarian cancer for nearly a decade. She carries a faulty gene that researchers has dubbed the BRCA1 gene, which sharply increases her risk of developing breast cancer. So as a preemptive measure, she has had both of her breasts removed. She said the decision to have a mastectomy was not easy, but it's one that I'm happy that I made. My chances of developing breast cancer have dropped from 87% to under 5%.
Wow.
I can tell my children that they don't need to fear they will lose me to breast cancer. So a drastic measure, obviously, but one that is significant and going a long way towards not only keeping her healthier, but saving her life.
Can I ask a stupid question? Because if not me, who?
Yeah, really. That's why you're here. That's the stupid question.
Do they rebuild them or not?
Yeah. She gets reconstructive surgery.
Okay. She already had it done.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right. And it's that's come a long way. That's science as well. So they're able to do a really nice job for the most part with those. So we wish her the best. And
Kevin is focused on the right part of that story, though.
But she gets them back, right? She gets the boobies back. She loves the boobies, but don't tell me the boobies go away. The boobies come back.
I just want to know what's in it for him. That's what he's asking.
I'm just curious.
Are they bigger? Are they bigger boobies? Or some size boobies?
This is who I work with every day. All these people.
Oh, you're lucky.
Today's celebrity birthday is Miranda Cosgrove is 20 years old today. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder, is 29. Amber Tamblyn. Love Amber Tamblyn. What's she up to these days? What is she working on? Anybody seen her lately?
No,
she was on House. She had a recurring role in House for a while.
Right. She had a cameo, of course, in Django Unchained.
Right, sure.
But in terms of full-time projects, I think just being married to David Cross. I think that's about it, isn't it?
Get back to work, Amber. She's 30 years old today. Black Keys singer Dan Auerbach is 34 years old. Director, actress, daughter, Sophia Coppola, 42 years old today. Cate Blanchett is 44 years old. CeCe DeVille, guitarist for Poison, is 51. He was on Celebrity Apprentice, too, wasn't he?
I think so.
I thought Bret Michaels was.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
I thought I saw him on some reality show, and I really liked him on it.
Possible, yeah.
Maybe it was Surreal Life or something like that, but he seemed like a very funny guy. 51 years old. Actor Tim Roth is 52 years old today. I remember sitting in a bar in the middle of the afternoon with a friend of mine, and the only other person in that same said bar was Tim Roth.
That's weird.
Sitting by himself, reading a book, having a drink, and so I sent over a drink to him because I'm a fan. And he looked up and he said, thank you. And I said, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, tell you I appreciate your work. And he said, it's so nice. And someone just coming up saying, oh, I like your movie. Somebody actually bought me a goddamn drink. He was very funny about that. 52 years old today. David Byrne is 61. Robert Zemeckis is 62. And director George Lucas celebrates his 69th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
30 seconds to Mars on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. They, of course, are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast this weekend, Saturday. And Greg Maharis from East Los Angeles is our latest winner. Got tickets in the pit and backstage passes. Congratulations. You can win every hour between now and 8 p.m. tonight.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We're Epic Meal Time, the greasiest, grimiest cooking crew coming straight from the wolf-ridden mountains of Canada. We're about to butt this studio on some bloody We're basically the cooking game Wu-Tang Clan.
That is the voice of Harley the Sauce Boss Morenstein, host and co-creator of Epic Mealtime, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Harley, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. We were discussing a few minutes ago, right before we were let you in the studio, whether you had ever vomited in the construction and creation of some of your great Epic Mealtime meals.
No, there was no barfing has happened because of the eating. However, someone got really drunk once and they were really sick. They had to lie down on the couch and it just kind of dribbled out of their mouth. But
How is it possible? Is it that you're – I mean, I see how much you eat on this video. How do you not throw that up? You are human, right?
Yeah, I'm human. I'm not a dog, so I know when to stop because I'm human.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, but I'll have some bad burps here and there.
Well, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. It's always great to catch up with you. And part of the reason that Harley is here is because this Sunday night kicks off a whole week of comedy on YouTube, youtube.com/comedyweek. There's a live all-star comedy variety show that's kicking it off this Sunday with a global live stream. You guys are creating a video for that. Is that right, Harley? Something special?
Well, actually, we create videos anyways every Tuesday. It just so happens that we're going to try and be extra funny this time around.
Okay.
You know, but we're still, you know, doing our thing. It's our regular grind. It just feels a little bit more special this week.
Rainn Wilson has taken part in this Funny or Die YouTube thing they're doing with Craig Robinson, Norm MacDonald, the Nerdist Network, Tim and Eric, the Gregory Brothers, who we had in yesterday, Seth Rogen, The Lonely Island, Vince Vaughn, so much more. It's going to be going on all week. If you want to be at the live show this Sunday night, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. First two people through that want to do that can give us a call. So what have you been up to, Harley? What have you been making or doing that's exciting to you right now?
Just hanging around, putting murdered animals in my mouth after I've wrapped them with bacon and covered them in liquor. The regular.
Sure.
The huge.
Like everybody.
The huge.
Like everybody.
Why are you hanging out with the former governor of the great state of California, Mr. Schwarzenegger?
Oh, that was so cool. Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was awesome. Terminator 2 is the first movie I ever saw in theaters. So, I mean, I did a little video with him for YouTube, and it was basically I eat a ghost pepper and then chug milk.
Oh, man.
I'm with him for a second, like spitting up milk right next to him.
I'll bet he had the time of his life. I'd like to hear his version of that story.
He doesn't remember it, maybe. I don't know. It's just, I'm there, and I'm like actually like barfing up milk. I'm like, this is the best moment of my life. This is what I've been working for. I tried to smell him. I tried to take a whiff. I couldn't get close.
Were you shocked that he was smaller than you are?
It was weird. To be
a little
towering
dude
over the Terminator.
Right.
Yeah. It was like a strange thing. I mean, I saw the movie when I was five. And now here I am, and like he's John Connor.
Right.
He has to come with me if he wants to live. And that was really, that was a shock. That was just, you know, just now, turned my world upside down. It's weird. You know, people get older.
That's my question.
Everyone's doing that.
That does happen.
He's like 66 years old or something now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you take him?
Oh, absolutely. I could have taken him probably 10 years
ago. But even then, even when he was in good shape, he was pretty small considering what you would think after watching him in the movies.
I got to tell you. Even today, I mean, I could take him, but I feel like he could still bench press more than me.
You do think? You feel
that way. He still works out, apparently.
Yeah,
he still works
pretty buff.
And, you know, he's got some, some weak ligaments and body parts. And, you know, they've put, like, you know, some enhanced things, medical things. And he's basically now closer to a Terminator than ever before. artificial things inside of him and stuff like that.
Now, Harley, speaking of the peppers, do you ever get involved in any of these crazy YouTube food challenges that people do, like the cinnamon, for instance, or the super hot peppers or anything like that? Because, you know, with your ability to put lots of food away, you'd probably be pretty good at some of those things.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing is, you know, there's always like the cinnamon challenge and the milk challenge. And I almost put it on the same level as like the Harlem Shake. There are these waves. And I don't know if you guys saw the knife game lately. Knife game's
a bad one.
It's like kids are basically, you know, when you like put your fingers down and you do that like five finger fillet with a knife.
Yeah,
right?
Don't do that, kids.
Yeah, don't do that. So anyways, all these kids are doing it and uploading videos, and it's really like it freaks me out. But it's just another one of those things where it comes as a wave, like the cinnamon challenge comes and goes. And we could have done all that stuff, but there's always this time where I see it and I'm like, oh, I saw it. Ah, it's too late. And then it's like next month is when it's really big. And I'm like, I should have done it. It's kind of like when I saw Twitter. I'm like, that's stupid. I don't want that. And then everyone like has it. I'm like, all right, I got to start one. Instagram. I'm like, I don't want it. That's stupid. And then I'm like, all right, everyone's doing it. I got to do it. So I mean, maybe next time.
Figure by the time it gets to you, it's too old, but it never is.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But we always try and avoid that in a weird way, and I know we're the dudes that, like, literally, like, dump Jack Daniels on a hamburger and call it our job.
Right.
I still see things like the Harlem Shake. I'm like, oh, we're above that. We're not going to get caught up in that. You know? Like,
that's childish.
Let's have some dignity. Can you gut that pig and deep fry the insides, please?
Harley is here from Epic Mealtime on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, on Twitter at Harley Plays or Epic Mealtime. The website is epicmealtime.com. I know you've been up to some other things, including meat that looks like a spider and a whole bunch more. Harley, can you stick around for one more? We'll talk to you after
Absolutely.
This.
For one whole week, the world of comedy will come together. Jash will be more hilarious than you could ever imagine.
Really?
The Gregory Brothers and Epic Mealtime will touch you in places you have never been touched.
We didn't agree to touch anyone.
I'll touch everyone.
That's Harley.
That's Harley. He'll touch everyone. That's
touch
our boy.
Ex high school teacher. Very inappropriate in that context. And
Harley Morenstein in studio right now with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the host and co-creator of Epic Mealtime. Are you starting to smell like bacon? Is it starting to come from your pores, Harley, at this point?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's all over my clothes, most importantly. So it's still not in my body seeping out. There's just too many other foods. You know, I eat a lot of pizza too, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you know how when you were younger and you had your job and you would go put on your uniform and you would put on that specific shirt for everywhere you worked and you'd be like, ah, work.
Yeah.
Like now bacon cooking is me being like, work. I walk into a breakfast place and it smells like the office, like a day at work.
Right. Now you told us off air when you sat down that you're cleaning up your act a little bit. You're only doing bacon 5 days a week now, which is that's a real improvement for you, right?
No, what I said was I do regular bacon on the weekends, so I don't wrap everything in bacon on Saturday and Sundays. You know, I'll eat bacon with eggs, I'll eat it on hamburgers, and I'll eat it on pizza, the regular stuff.
Gotcha.
I'm just not going to be wrapping a pig's genital in bacon and deep frying it in Jack Daniels on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
Sounds like a good Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, that's my Wednesday.
Sure, okay.
Right, exactly. I haven't seen this yet, but Dave tells me I must ask you about meat in the shape of a spider.
Yeah, we made a meatloaf, stuffed it with cheese, and, in the shape of a spider, wrapped it all in bacon. And then we got crab legs and wrapped those in bacon to just, you know, make it look like a spider.
Right.
And, you know, we gave it pizza bagel eyes because at that point in the video we had reached our creative limit. And we're like, what are the eyes going to be like? I don't know. Pizza bagels. All right, pizza bagels. Stop yelling. I'm not. I'm drunk now. Let's just finish cooking. Got a video to upload. But yeah, it's cool. It's interesting.
How's your cholesterol these days?
I never check it.
Excellent.
You know why? Smart. Well, there's a guy on the show, Muscles Glasses, and he eats way worse than I do. Mm-hmm. Like, he eats the worst.
You know that's meaningless, though, right?
Listen.
So as long as he's alive, you're good?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's genetics? You know, everyone's pretty much the same inside, right?
So he's your canary in a coal mine. When he drops dead, that's when you start examining your diet.
Yeah, that's when I'll be like, all right, well, he ate twice as bad as I did, so I have two times the amount of time to live from this point forward.
I think that's science.
Yeah, that's scientific, right?
Right.
Harley is here from Epic Mealtime. As you know by now, we're talking about YouTube Comedy Week, which kicks off this Sunday. They got stuff going on all week long. The live show is this Sunday. Now, you are going to be a part of that. Tell us a little bit about what the audience is going to see you do live on stage.
Well, we have a live show that we normally do, and this is essentially still pending approval. But we normally take a pig and we stuff it with a whole bunch of burgers. We cover it in Jack Daniels. We show people how to bake and weave. We do all this crazy stuff with food, and it takes about an hour. And I was just like, well, let's see if we can do it in 2 minutes.
That's it. So, but you didn't go 10 minutes? You just said, let's see if we can do it in
No, that's the opening. It's like about 2 minutes. So Basically everyone's going to sit there and they're maybe just look down, send a text message. And they're going to look up and there's going to be dead pig everywhere, bacon all over the place. They're drunk. They're covered in liquor and their pants are off. And they're like, what was that? I missed it. And
I don't know.
Epic Meal Time was just on stage.
Harley's real life is like a full-time bachelor party, isn't it?
Yes. It is. Lots of men. And every woman is paid.
Before we let you go, we want to thank you again publicly for your help with the video that you made for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness this year, because it was very well received. Beer Mug, what's your memory of that day when Epic Mealtime came to K-Rock?
Just a lot of gravy, McDonald's, and French fries. That's all
and
I remember.
Tears.
Lots of tears. Throw in some tears and you've got Beer Mug's life. That was sweet. And we were grateful that you guys did that. That was fantastic.
That was awesome. It was a good time. We made this place smell good.
On Twitter, at Harley Plays or at Epic Mealtime, and the website is epicmealtime.com, and look for them on the live YouTube Comedy Week kickoff, which is going to be this Sunday, of course, on YouTube.
By the way, Harley, if you come across any stories about bacon, he'd like to know about it, too, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, tweet me all your bacon stuff. I never hear about it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Don't make some crappy joke.
About what? What do you think is going on here?
Angelina Jolie.
Has nothing to do with that.
Oh.
It's potentially bad news for you, Ralph. Maybe even more so for you, Kevin.
Dr. Joyce Brothers.
The National Transportation Safety Board has recommended that all 50 states lower the blood alcohol content rate for when you are declared legally drunk from 0.08 to 0.05.
Oh, come on.
What's that going to do?
I'm not under 0.05 right now. I haven't had a drink in 2 days.
That's your walking around rate.
That's right.
They say that lowering the rate to 0.005 would save about 500 to 800 lives every year. And that is their recommendation that is going to be voted on at some point.
How many new prisons are they going to build?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Apparently, according to this, a 180-pound male typically hits 0.08 after 4 drinks in an hour. The same person could reach the lower threshold after 2 to 3 drinks in an hour.
Easily.
So, yeah, easily, right?
Especially with the Everclear that Kevin drinks.
How dare you, sir?
Just out of a mason jar with a crazy straw.
Wanted to get this information to you two in particular as quickly as possible, because that could impact your weekend plans. The world's just no fun anymore, right?
I'm going to the Star Trek premiere tonight.
Have someone drive you.
How am I not going to get ass hammered with Sulu drinking some Saurian brandy or some Romulan ale? Just knocking back a few Romulan ales with Kirk.
Well, this is another way of saying...
I'm supposed to get the shuttlecraft home.
You just have to sleep where you drink now, apparently, is where we're headed.
No, I always heard, don't sleep where you drink. That's what I always
heard. That's right.
A different saying altogether.
Wait a minute, that was a different saying. Well, thanks, Dr. Bummer. Thanks so much. Good man. Now I got to follow that up with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Jeez, most depressing showbiz beat ever. Angelina Jolie, a big story, of course, broke this morning in the New York Times. In the op-ed section, she wrote a piece about the fact that she had recently had a double mastectomy due to the fact that genetic tests revealed she faced a higher probability of developing breast cancer than the average woman due to her genetic makeup. She shares a gene that her mother
had. It's a faulty gene found by researchers that they have dubbed the BRCA1 gene, which increases a woman's chance of developing breast cancer and, in some cases, ovarian cancer. Such was the case with Angelina's mother, who died at the age of 56 after battling ovarian cancer for nearly a decade. So as a preemptive health measure, many women, now including Angelina Jolie, are taking it upon themselves to undergo radical double mastectomies, where they remove all the breast tissue from both breasts. And that drastically changes the prognosis. She says that she went from an 87% chance of developing breast cancer, and now, thanks to the double mastectomy, has dropped to an under 5% chance.
Wow, that's crazy.
So
the amount you can change the odds.
She admits it wasn't an easy decision to make, but it's one that she's happy with because she feels she can tell her children now that they don't need to fear they will lose her to breast cancer.
Yeah.
An amazingly brave, gutsy move for Angelina Jolie, especially because she's a woman who lives her life in the public eye, which I think many women like her have different levels of insecurity as it is regarding their looks and their appearance and their physicality because of the nature of her business. And she did something for her health and for her family that took a lot of courage. So,
yeah, that's well said. I mean, she looks around to all those kids and goes, I don't want them to grow up with, you know, losing their mom so young like I did.
Right.
And this, I mean, I'm sure that just brought it into real sharp focus for her as a human and as a mother.
So, good story. You can read it at the New York Times website if you want to check out the whole thing. But that's what everybody's talking about today. And, of course, the passing of Dr. Joyce Brothers, which I alluded to earlier today.
Oh, she died?
Yeah.
She was still alive?
Oh, man. Makes your heart sick, doesn't it, to lose Joyce?
No.
Come on. She was America's psychologist, for God's sakes.
She's been out of the public eye for some time.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't realize what a big star she was at some point.
Was she?
In American pop culture. Yeah, she was on television constantly. She did game shows, and she was on every
talk show,
and she had popular columns running in every major metropolitan newspaper across the country.
She was the Dr. Drew of her day.
She was, absolutely. She was the first. She was the precursor to Dr. Phil and Dr. Laura and Dr. Oz and Dr. Drew and all those BS TV doctors now that we have to deal with. She was the one. Died yesterday in New York at the age of 85. She first became famous when she was on a TV game show called the $64,000 Question. She was on in 1955 and became the only woman ever to win the top prize. She won the $64,000. And then they found out she was a psychologist, and she started making TV appearances, and the rest is history.
Didn't she used to do, Ralph, and I'm just pulling this out of thin air, but didn't she used to be like a popular cameo on sitcoms back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Like Dr. Joyce Brothers would come in just to tell your character that you're stupid or
something. Absolutely. She was a big reference. A lot of people would say, who are you, Dr. Joyce Brothers? The studio audience would just be beside themselves with laughter. Great interview with James Dean this morning, by the way, fellas. I thought you did a great job.
Really?
Yeah. And I also think we've learned some stuff that even Harvey Levin hasn't talked about that case just by talking to James. He couldn't really say it out loud, but if you were able to imply what he was saying was that Farrah Abraham, teen mom, backdoor teen mom, didn't make nearly the $1 million that everyone is claiming that she made by selling her sex tape.
Right.
He said she was paid by the same company that paid him for the scene. She was paid as a performer for that scene. So all of that hullabaloo about her marching into the office with her dad and her kid to sign the big contract,
right,
and everything, that could all just be publicity. It could be completely manufactured.
But did you guys sense that he knew exactly how much she made?
Yes.
Okay. Because he seemed to be disputing the figure we heard for his paycheck,
yes,
which was $5,000, but we didn't get any kind of details from him what he thinks she made.
But I also got the sense that whatever her payment was for performing in a scene for Vivid Pictures, she was paid as a contract day player the way any other porn actress would be paid.
That's the way it sounded, yeah.
So maybe she got a nice payday out of it, but I got the impression that after the shoot, when she went back and said, okay, I will sign the rights for this thing for $1 million or whatever, that why would they pay for that if it was a Vivid production to begin with and she had been paid a daily rate to perform in that scene just as he had?
Oh, yeah. That's such a big liar.
Because she's such a big liar.
That's true.
That's why. And interesting email from listener Dell, who writes about the story. Could it be that Farrah Abraham was pretending that the video was a private sex tape that she filmed
because neither she nor James Dean used condoms during the shoot, which is now against the law in L.A. County. Did she violate the L.A. ordinance about having to use condoms during a porn shoot? Could that be the reason she insisted that the tape was made for her own private pleasure, Dell writes, as a loophole in the law?
Interesting.
To which I say now, prosecute her and send her to jail. You think I'm kidding? Put her in the hooscow. Slap the cuffs on her. And you better slap ankle cuffs on her, too, because I've seen how she operates.
Either she's homeless or she got problems.
She will spread those legs.
That's true.
And Wayne Brady's going to kick the S out of Bill Maher.
Wayne Brady's not going to beat up anyone.
He's going to kick Bill Maher's ass.
Why?
Here's the thing,
Kevin,
because you're just like Bill Maher. You say, oh, Wayne Brady isn't really black. He's not black enough. Oh, he's not truly black. That's what you meant by Wayne Brady's not going to kick anybody's ass.
No, he's a weakling.
Think he's black. You don't think he's black enough.
What are you talking about?
Wayne Brady's tired of being used as the example of black guys who aren't really black, who aren't black enough for people's taste. Apparently, Bill Maher made a joke comparing Barack Obama to Wayne Brady. Instead of being a real black man, he's a Wayne Brady, he said.
Oh,
which
I see.
He's saying he doesn't fall into that stereotypical category, I guess, of what Bill Maher thinks black men should behave as, when there's a wide spectrum of behavior, of all different kinds of behavior from black people across the board. Why should any one stereotype be held up as the prototypical black man?
I totally see that, and I agree with that, but I also get Wayne Brady's point, which is, as long as Bryant Gumbel exists, don't pick on me.
Yeah, that is a good point. But Wayne said if Bill has this vision in his mind of how a real black man acts, which apparently is all ghetto, then he'll indulge him by kicking his ass in public.
The black dude in his mind is the stereotypical, you know, yeah, what? Yeah, you know, that dude.
Right.
That guy exists, but that's not the range of the black experience. But let's say that that's the black dude. So then when I meet you, when I talk to you again, I'll give you that black dude. And I will beat your ass in public. And that's what I said.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's on.
It is on.
Race war.
It's a race war.
Race war's on,
absolutely,
everybody.
That's what
it's
I meant.
It's going down.
That's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's going down.
Yeah.
Race war. Come on. Race war.
Yeah. How funny would it be if Wayne Brady kicked Bill Maher's ass?
That would be awesome.
That would be hilarious.
And then just say, black enough for you now, drop the mic and walk out.
Black bitch. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Miranda Cosgrove is 20 years old today. Mark Zuckerberg is 29. Amber Tamblyn turns 30 years old today. Black Keys singer Dan Auerbach is 34. Sofia Coppola, the director, turns 42 years old today. Let's not forget star of Godfather 3.
It's true.
And Oscar winner.
And Oscar winner. Cate Blanchett, 44 years old, also was in Godfather 3.
Also an Oscar winner.
Played Sonny, I think she did.
I don't think she
was
played
she Sonny.
Sonny
in The Godfather. No, Godfather 1, did she play Sonny?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. CeCe DeVille, Poison guitarist, 51. Tim Roth turns 52 years old today. David Byrne, lead singer for the legendary Talking Heads, is 61 years old today. Director Robert Zemeckis celebrates 62. And movie icon, director, filmmaker, legend, man who created Star Wars, George Lucas, is 69 years old.
We have time for our tribute to George Lucas.
Is this the song dedicated to his sequels that he made after the first three Star Wars?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood.
But J.J. Abrams is going to give our childhood back. He's
going to
bring
is.
It back next year when we have a new Star Wars. And I'm going to see Star Trek Into Darkness tonight.
Can't wait.
So I will give you a full report later on this week.
You're cheating again. You're supposed to give us the report without watching the
I
movie.
Know, but there's some movies I just can't resist. They say, you want to see it early? I'm like, yes.
Yes!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jill Wagner in the studio.
Oh.
So much.
I ran into John Henson, her White Pop co-star yesterday. In the gynecologist's office. Don't ask me why I was there.
why were both of you there?
That is our business and not for you to know.
Sounds like a setup for a joke.
It's true.
Jill Wagner will be in the studio. We'll talk to her about that.
I don't think she has any info. Why John Henson and I were in a gynecologist together.
Jimmy Pardo will be in the studio. We also have Stephen Amell, who is the lead in Arrow.
He is the Green Arrow.
Who's fantastic in that. And we have you had sex dreams about coworkers on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, along with pit tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, which is this Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.